Like I say, it's Blog Talk
Blog
Radio.
Talk Radio.
All right, and welcome to The Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can go to Facebook, type in the search bar, The Matthew Aaron Show, and you click like, and you will magically be following our progress there. Stitcher, you can follow us on Stitcher. It's so funny because I get these Stitcher updates, and then yesterday, you know, I get all these BBC updates. I'm just always like just blown away that I could literally listen to the BBC and then us, which is totally ass backwards. What else are we on? iTunes. Subscribe there. You'll get every show sent right to your phone. We keep it free so you don't hate me like Kevin Pollak. What else? Who else do we hate? Who else hates me? Anyone else hate me today? Oh, I got to turn your mic on, right? Would you like that on? No, Lee, no one wants to hear you anyways.
Yes.
What is that?
Alika Preyas, hello.
Yes, what?
I could say the Kevin Pollak. Right out of the gate with the Kevin Pollak. It's going to be kind of show?
No, he charged for his show, and then everyone revolted on him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you thought I meant Kevin hates me. Yes, he does. That's true, too, but I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah,
Kevin's not a fan.
No.
I don't think. I don't know. Him and I've had weird run-ins.
Yeah.
Really odd, awkward run-ins. I'll never forget when I was at Phil Rosenthal's house, and he was super nice to me. But then everywhere else I've seen him, not
right.
So friendly.
Right.
My favorite was, though, at the Mammoth
Screening. The Mammoth
Screening. Where he walks. Kevin walks with his, I think he was with his girlfriend, Jamie.
I think he might literally have turned his nose up.
Seriously, there was two sides of the theater. One side was completely empty. No one's going to sit there. And this was Ricky Jay, but this, I don't mean David Mamet's screening. This was Ricky Jay's documentary, but we saw David Mamet there. We sat next to Mamet. But Kevin walks in, and he looks over, and he sees us. Doesn't really make a face or anything, really. Walks out, walks around, sits all the way on the other side, all the way down in the corner.
Right.
I'm on to him. There's something up with him.
I've seen that enough in high school.
Yeah, right.
Ricky Jay and David Mamet, by the way, both friends of actor Joe Mantegna, whose wife owns the wonderful place that we podcast from today.
603 North Hollywood Way. Did you know 603?
I did. I was getting
to that. Okay. Our last show here for a while, so I should have let you go.
It's okay.
Go ahead. You plug it.
No.
No, don't do your little plug.
The time has passed.
Do your little plug. The time is passed. But you could wish somebody a happy birthday. The time
yes.
is not passed for that.
It is the birthday today of Mr. Joe Mantegna, and we wish him a happy birthday from all of us at the Matthew Aaron Show.
Hey, all right. Happy
not
birthday,
say
Joe.
How old he is, one, because I think it's they don't want to know. People don't want people to know.
Yeah, actors.
Even
actors.
Men.
Well, we'll talk to Jack about that. Jack Noseworthy's joining us from, of course, Killing Kennedy. Killing Kennedy. I said Killing Kennedys, I think. And, well, that's not
a band.
Yeah. Is that a band? Is it really, though?
No.
Because it's so possible.
I'm thinking of Dead Kennedys.
That could... Oh, that's what it was. Dead Kennedys. You're so 1990s today.
I know.
You're so cool.
I know.
Yeah. Killing Kennedy, which was a monster on Nat Geo, Is that what they call it, Nat Geo?
Nat Geo, yeah.
Because National Geographic even has to have like a hip, cool name nowadays.
And National Geographic is actually pretty hip and cool.
Kids,
I think
they really
cool
are.
Enough, right?
yeah,
so why do you have called Nat Geo?
I don't have the time for all these syllables.
Yeah, right. Well, it's better for their Twitter account that they go by Nat Geo.
Right.
National Geographic, too
Twitter.
Many letters.
National Geographic Channel.
Yeah. Oh, that's way too many letters. They can't do that.
Nat Geo Chan.
All right, so talk to me about this film before we get into your career, which I want to get into as well. But talk to me about, first of all, do we go backwards or forwards here? What do I want to do? All right, how'd you get involved with the project? Let's start with that.
So I read the script, and I really liked it, and I went in, and I met on it, and fortunately they felt that I was the right person to play Bobby Kennedy, because I certainly felt like I
was. Did you read the book?
After.
For people that don't know, this is a Bill O'Reilly book.
It was based on, the source material is the Bill O'Reilly book, Killing Kennedy.
Right.
And then Kelly Masterson adapted the book into the teleplay that became the movie,
right.
Killing Kennedy, that we made.
So let's talk about this. Bobby Kennedy, he is actually one of the better looking Bobby Kennedys to play Bobby Kennedy. Like, when you think of like guys who've played Bobby Kennedy.
He looks more like him than Bobby.
Yeah, you do have the look down, cold. You still have it, though, so it's just you. Jack just looks like a Kennedy.
A little bit, I guess. I mean, you know, unfortunately.
So,
you didn't say he was good looking. You just said I looked like
Kennedys
him. You didn't actually,
calm,
you didn't say anything positive.
All the Kennedys get mad pussy.
Right.
They all do. In to this day, it's the 18-year-old Kennedys.
It's
are
a
like,
prerequisite.
Yeah.
Or a prereq for our Nat Geo fans.
It's part of being a Kennedy. Right. Yeah, I don't think that was in the movie. No, but... But talk, okay, so you look like Bobby. Did you go in looking like Bobby, or did they?
No, I didn't think about that at all.
Do you know who you were up against? You don't have to say any names, but
no.
Do you know who else there was?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
You don't pay attention to that.
There was
you don't
nothing
want
to pay attention
to.
I literally, I you know, you go in, you take your meeting, and,
yeah.
and I was actually, I got my meeting at for, on LA time, and so on your iPhone, sometimes it doesn't a transfer to the right time.
Yeah.
So it came through as 3:00 and it was actually at noon. So I was sitting at home, like getting ready for my appointment, and my manager called and said, why didn't you go to your audition for Killing Kennedy? I'm like, because it's at 3:00.
Oh.
And they're like, no, it
so
was
you were
at
coming
noon.
In from New York. You
yeah.
came in from New York.
Yeah. Anyway, it all worked out. They waited for me.
What
and
were you
I,
doing in New York?
I live in New York.
You live in New York
yeah,
full time?
Nice. Usually you miss the audition.
You
blew it.
I live in New York
so
full time.
You live in New York full time. You
yeah.
have a place out here. You just rent a place.
I have a really good friend that has a
people.
Very large, beautiful home.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
Is very nice to let
oh,
me
that's nice.
Crash in a bedroom. It's
can
in
I
a,
meet one of these friends?
I know. Yeah, it's like know in a wing of the house that, you know.
A wing.
You know, it's
I
crazy.
Only get a wing.
You know, you're just like, really? Okay, that's fine.
They were like, will you take the south wing? And I'm like, yes, if you must.
So you're
you
at
know,
the, yeah, you're at the south
I'm in,
wing.
I'm in the green room.
You're
yeah,
right.
There's a blue room.
The
I'm in
wing.
The green room.
So Jack here is at the south wing at Elton John's home.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing it's Elton.
No,
we're just going to throw that out
no,
there.
No, it's not Elton. It's not Elton. I know Elton, though. I worked with Elton.
Of course you know.
I did.
Yeah.
I know
Elton. Of course
Elton.
You know Elton. God damn it.
Does every guest have to be, like, so much more successful and interesting?
I don't think
yeah.
it has anything to do
like,
with success.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with success whatsoever.
And interesting.
Let's see. What gay icons have I met?
Cher.
No, not enough.
I thought you said Cher.
Oh, Chris Crocker. There you go.
Yeah, who's right. Chris Crocker?
Exactly.
Oh.
That's how lucky I am. And you're. Oh, I worked with Elton on this thing. We did this thing.
We
had no
a,
big
we
deal.
Did this thing.
So Elton John cast me in Killing Kennedy.
Yeah, right. All right. So you're at your buddy's house. You're getting ready. You're 3 hours behind for this appointment.
So you just what you know. You just go in and
you rush
and
over or what?
They give
I
you.
Did.
They give you another chance, which never happens.
Well, when you're an actor like Jack, they probably do.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is that I mean, in all honesty, I read it, and I had an enormous affinity for him. I didn't know that much about Bobby, really, not like what I
any
know now.
Any of the Kennedys? Were you
I,
into
I mean,
any of them?
I'm from Massachusetts originally, so
yeah,
there's
that's
a certain allure of, like, you know,
are you
just,
a Teddy guy? Are you a...
Well,
you
Teddy
really
actually
care?
Achieved a lot in his
I
life.
I know,
he
did.
Really,
yeah, he's great.
He really... Teddy, you know, was the unsung hero there.
He ran
really,
the gamut.
He sure did. but so when I read it, I really... Bobby was really tough, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah. Excuse
there's,
me.
There's Ron Zimmerman. Ron's finally going to be joining
there
us.
There you go. He was super tough, you know. He's a guy that had. There's your. Pal.
Hey, Ron.
Hey.
Take a
how
seat.
You
can. Well, you're gonna take Lee's mic.
I'm gonna
in a
hand you my mic
here.
In a couple minutes.
Yeah. We're talking Killing Kennedy. It was on Nat
Geo. And I will want it back.
You didn't watch it. Ron didn't watch it.
That's all right.
Ron didn't watch Killing
Well, he
Kennedy.
Can watch it again on Friday because it'll be on Friday night as
go.
Well.
There you go.
So there you go.
Ratings were huge.
Ron's
yes.
a big O'Reilly fan.
Yes.
Are you a big Bill O'Reilly? And we'll ask him. We'll ask him later. I always want Ron's opinion on everything.
Awesome. But he's just this real, like, he was tough.
So why is Bobby tough for you, though?
Because, listen, what he always said was, he said, look, you know, I don't care if they like me. I only care if they like Jack. That was kind of his line. So he kind of took all the crap and was the one, he was bad cop to good cop and really and just didn't care. He was able to put his ego aside and really fight for the cause, fight for the family, fight for
That's
what Joe,
really
the father, wanted.
So you thought from everything you've learned about Bobby, he was less of a politician and more of the family guy. He was like the enforcer of the family.
He definitely he didn't really like being the politician. He wasn't really a politician. He became attorney general. Jack gave him the job as attorney general, and then he wasn't a politician until he decided to run, you know, make his own bid for the Democratic nomination, which is when he got killed.
Yeah.
He didn't like the politics of it. He in everything that I've read, it wasn't something that he desired. And he took a long time for him to think about something and make a decision post the assassination. So it wasn't easy for him. He didn't like being in the limelight.
Yeah, and this was a huge cast.
It was a really good cast.
Yeah, it's a really great cast for a Nat Geo project. So I'm guessing there's a budget for this thing. There was a legit budget, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because this is their first big movie. That's why I bring this up.
They had Killing Lincoln,
which
did really well for them.
Well.
And then this is the most viewed program ever on Nat Geo.
Okay.
So we're real happy. I mean, Monday the numbers came in, and it was just really exciting.
Rob Lowe,
Jennifer Goodwin,
who's
Michelle
great,
Trachtenberg.
Yourself, Michelle Trachtenberg.
And then Will Rothauer played Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Now,
so,
do you excessively for this role, do you just go out and read all the material you can, or you just try to say, I want to know a little bit about the gentleman, but I'm mostly going to go from videos and all that and things visually to how to sound and look?
You know, it's a good question, because especially with a character like this, where there's so much, there's so many resources, there's so much material out there for you to get information from,
right.
You kind of have to be selective.
Right.
And then you also have to use your time carefully, because a lot of sources say the same thing from a different perspective, and you can learn from that. But really, you know, from the time I got the movie until the time I started shooting the movie, I didn't have an enormous amount of time to do as much research as I could have. But that actually, I think, was a good was in my favor. So I read there's a biography by Evan Thomas, and it's very, very specific, and I got a lot of information for that. I was very grateful to read that. And then there was a documentary called RFK on the American Experience. So, like,
okay.
I had a visual and an audio idea of him, and then the biography kind of
filled
in. Did
you study all that video and audio stuff for mannerisms and speech?
You know what? I'm such a physical guy that I you know, there's so many photographs and images and things that you're aware of, so I definitely tried to find a physicality that was paying homage to his physicality, but I was never any kind of mimicking or trying to recreate. I was just trying to be literally just honest in that moment, and hopefully the homework you've done just comes right up to, steps up to plate. You
so
know?
You don't feel a need to nail the voice, though, the Kennedy voice that everyone knows.
Well, I'm from Boston originally.
Right.
So I'm a Massachusetts native, so the voice was my accent, and it's real, and nobody that's going to say that's not a real Boston accent.
How'd you lose that accent?
I went to college for 4 years.
That's how you lost it? Where'd you go to college?
I went to the Boston Conservatory.
Well, you're still in Boston. Right. How'd you lose it?
Well, no, because I went to school for theater, so
they beat it out of you.
Theater students from around the country.
No,
yes,
they
beat it out of you.
Is that why you live in New York theater? You still like doing the whole theater?
I do. I like it a lot. What? I just closed a play 2 weeks ago.
What play?
This play called 2.0 by Jeffrey Jackson.
Okay, tell me about it.
It's about an internet software giant, like a Bill Gates type of guy,
that
dies in a plane crash. And 3 months later, his wife puts a disc into the supercomputer in their house, and he comes back to life via software. And so he's basically, and the software learns from itself. So he basically develops a relationship with his wife. He develops a relationship with his company that it tries to take over, and it becomes a play about like God complex is he alive? Is he not alive? And the play, it's only five actors, right? Or four actors, five actors, excuse me. All the actors except for me. My whole part takes place in a video screen because I'm just software. So she's looking at me in the computer.
Is that hard to do?
It was very, very strange.
Yeah.
So they're all. I was acting with people. They were on stage and I was on a screen. So I was up in a booth, just looking at a monitor and acting with them. So like if the monitor's there, when they walked that way, I had to look at them this way. So I could never really.
So why did you want to take the role? Because it was
it's
different.
It's a really interesting play.
Yeah.
It's really topical, and I loved the technology part of it. And it was really challenging. I'm a real physical actor, and all of that was taken away from me.
That's great.
Because I literally was just they shot me from like above the waist up. So I didn't have that kind of physicality to communicate the material. So it was a big challenge, and We did great. We got a flawless review in the New York Times, and they're trying to move it, so it's good.
How difficult is it to go from this young, like, you? I mean, you weren't like a teen actor, but you did like teen movies. You did teen roles,
yeah.
And then you moved into doing like Event Horizons and the Barbed Wire and stuff. But even Barbed Wire, you're playing kind of a young teen. Okay. So how is it moving from that sort of actor into an adult actor, even though you kind of started as an adult?
Well, I don't think...
Was there any bumps in the road? Did anyone have trouble looking at you as an adult actor at some point in time and still looked at you as like a young actor?
That's a good question, too. I think they you know, you're so frequently judged by the way you look,
right?
And when you're younger... It doesn't carry as much weight because you're only being looked at for younger roles.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you know, you want to be seen for more mature things. And so I think they're looking at whatever your last job was, however the last person saw you. So if the last person saw you as playing a lawyer or a cop, then they're able to see you as playing a lawyer or a cop. So people still have to take a chance. And I think everybody kind of experiences that, whether you're a big star. You know, if you're a big TV star and you're used to seeing someone play a certain role, then it's hard for people to see them playing a different role.
It's very tough for an actor to show range with things being the way they are.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways I've been fortunate in that I've played a varied amount of roles and things that nothing has landed and said, oh, he's specifically that, which has been a blessing and a curse in a way. Sometimes I think if you do one thing really well, you know, then you're going to get to do that over and over again. I'm lucky I've been able to do a variety of different things, and I feel like I do them all well, but I don't think I've been necessarily pigeonholed. But going from a younger person to play more mature roles, playing dads and husbands and things like that, yeah, it's taken a little bit of time.
So what would you
fortunately
rather have?
Here.
Would you rather have the range of roles you get to do or the money? The big money of a Mark Harmon or a range of roles where you could keep doing whatever you want and people keep complimenting how great of an actor you are and you get to do all these different things?
Well, I think the only answer really is you want to do like something like Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Who gets to do it all, right? Yeah. Or like...
But now he's kind of screwed. You can't see him as anything other than Jack Bauer.
Yeah, but there's a long career there.
Saying you would love to settle in your 40s into like that one big role.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
And then you know, because you have the experience and you have the chops, that another opportunity will come will allow you to do something else.
Sure.
As you age and as people get to see you differently. But I think it's all kinds of whatever opportunity comes your way. You know, yeah, I would like to be able to see the money of that sort of iconic role that would land you, because then it gives you opportunities to do other things.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, I could go back and do theater. If you're on a hit TV show, you know, which would be awesome, then you take your hiatus and you go and do a play for 3 months.
Right, sure.
So I think it offers you more opportunities than it doesn't.
Well, let's bring in Ron.
To our other co-host for today, who is Jack of all trades and our buddy Ron Zimmerman. I think you should just pass him the mic and I'll give you my mic.
There you go. Well, he's so good. Ron, how are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Yeah, you look
traffic
well.
was not well, but that, you know, that GPS lady, she's just amazing.
The GPS lady.
It's like, you, no matter what way you turn, she knows where you are.
Yeah.
You can do anything, and she's always reasonable. You know, I actually was thinking that somebody should make one of those things where when you go off her route and she says like rerouting, that somebody should make a more colloquial person that goes, you know, what are you, an idiot? You know, it said take a right. Why are you?
So you want a GPS more like you?
Yeah. I want the cranky
Ron's
GPS.
The guy, especially like on Facebook, where if you say something stupid, oh yeah, he'll tell you. He'll let you know how stupid you are.
Now I gotta talk about this killing Kennedy thing.
Yeah.
So you played Bobby.
That's right.
And for one thing, Rob Lowe is one of my oldest friends.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm sure he must have been fun to be around, because he's really incredibly fun to just hang out with.
And phenomenally talented.
He's one of the funniest guys with one of those careers.
He's
also one of the one of the funniest guys in the world. Did he do impressions for you?
He did some impressions, but we, you know, it was an 18-day shoot, and we were pretty focused, so it was hard to break away from that.
He can do impressions.
He's great with voices.
Oh, my God. He does the greatest. He's one of the greatest mimics.
He does all the presidents. He's like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey's a great mimic. Rob Lowe is very similar in that way.
Yeah. I didn't know that about Rob. What impressions does he do that are so good?
Well, he can do
voices really, really, really well.
He does the greatest Michael J. Fox impression.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's great. Why don't people take advantage of that? Why isn't he casted?
Well, you know, he does a lot of comedy.
Yeah, I know, but not with the voices.
And I don't know. I mean, you know, when I saw him doing Liberace.
Yeah.
You know, in that, I mean, that's like him, you know, I don't know where that came from exactly, but but I mean, that's Rob, you know. I mean,
he's great in this movie. He's great in Killing Kennedy. He does his JFK like that. He practiced the sound of his voice to help create this character, and it's spot on.
That's great.
Well, he's now the thing about Bobby Kennedy, and I've had this argument before, and actually now meeting you, I have to say it. Before I even say that, you know what you remind me of more than even like a Kiefer Sutherland. You're kind of better looking because you don't have the nose, but but Kevin Bacon,
yeah,
who has had
even a better looking Kevin Bacon though.
That's what I'm saying. You're better looking,
but I could see that
Kevin Bacon. You talk about a varied career,
yeah,
and a guy that is just so rich.
Yeah, man.
You know, and then he finally does a series, and even the series is like incredibly great.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, he was rich before Bernie Madoff stole all of his money.
But even, yeah, you know, and lives in New York.
But, you know, his wife is also worth $50 million.
He said if my wife wasn't doing her show, we'd be bankrupt. Broke. Because Bernie took their money.
Pacino, a lot of people lost fortunes.
That's certainly a good sort of career
Kevin
trajectory,
Bacon.
You know, like to Kevin Bacon.
But I mean, to have that, you know, to get that kind of career.
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching a little bit of A Few Good Men.
Oh,
and,
love that movie.
You know,
so good.
And you're just watching, Jesus, you know, Kevin Bacon never makes a wrong move. You know, he never makes a false move. There's also an interesting thing about people that play Jack or Bobby Kennedy in that I can't even think of anybody that's done it that hasn't always worked steady. It's like the anti-Oscar curse. You know?
That's a really good point. I never thought of that.
You know, Martin Sheen played JFK. He's played RFK.
He has, yeah, right.
You know,
Bill
I'm
Devane,
surprised.
Right?
Yeah.
Bill Devane.
Yeah, that's a great example.
I still think did the greatest JFK.
He does a good one.
Yeah, he's great.
Ever. I did a show with him.
Rob actually likes his JFK.
Most people say his is the premier JFK.
Yeah.
And
you see Rob.
I don't think anyone gets mentioned. I don't think William Devane gets mentioned on any show more than this one.
Really?
William Devane gets mentioned more on this show than any show on the planet.
He's also the coolest guy.
Is he the coolest guy?
My God.
I hope.
It's kind of like, good. It's kind of like B. Arthur.
Now
right?
I feel
you
good
say
about
the name
it.
B. Arthur and you just laugh.
Yeah.
William Devane is this guy. His hero is Lee Marvin.
Okay, that makes sense.
And
I can see that.
He lives way out in the desert. Comes into work and, you know, it's just like game for anything. He's just cool.
Yeah, that's
he's just
good.
Really cool. But
I'll take the reverse Oscar curse though.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy, which is a great role, although I haven't, where they were asking about the accent and, you know, I mean, and I'm sitting there waiting for, you know, come on, give us a little. And we're not hearing any. So I guess I have to watch the movie.
What do you want to hear?
See, he just wants to hear it so he doesn't have to watch the movie. Don't do that.
No,
make him pay for it.
I'm going to watch the movie.
Well, I don't think you have to pay for it.
What were the ratings, by the way?
The highest ratings that Nat Geo has ever gotten for any one of their television shows ever.
There you go. Thank you.
It blew
everything out of the water. It's their most successful show ever.
The premiere was 3.2, I believe.
No, 3.4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so it's like,
you know.
So they beat NFL
who was the,
and they beat 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
Wow.
So that's, so, well, I mean, see, I think the people
and,
that do the those movies on those networks. So I was just talking about this on the way in here.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit what network anything's on anymore.
That's right.
They it's like they read about it. And they find it.
Yeah,
they,
right.
they tune it. Kennedy, you know.
Lucky, like as actors, that nobody like
yeah.
you're not sort of like there's no glass ceiling anymore. Everything's
no.
okay. Like there's no nobody's judging where
and
you're working,
right.
what you're doing, what network you're on, if it's a movie or TV
no,
or anything.
No, if it's something
and,
they're interested in, they'll find it.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll
and,
find
and,
it.
I mean, look at what Costner did.
Yeah, with
by doing Hatfields and McCoys
yeah.
on the History Channel.
Where, so good.
Which
I
was
saw, I watched the whole thing.
Unbelievable.
And he's smart, too. He
was.
Owned that movie.
I was just
he made
Paxton.
All the money off
he,
that.
Bill
you know, he could have taken it anywhere.
Yeah.
But he took it to the place where they had to... They first off...
That would be their number
to,
one thing.
They had to give him as much money as he wanted.
Yeah.
And...
Promotion.
And he owns it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure in Europe, you know, there's probably a huge... You know, DVD market
sure.
for
really
it.
Really good movie.
He
too.
Made a lot
and,
of money.
And
off
it was it won every Emmy.
And I think the thing too is that like those networks, they want quality
yes.
material. They want quality products.
Yes.
So they're also some of the networks that aren't you know the Big Four. They have more time.
The Big Four's not even the Big Four anymore.
Yeah,
no.
but like they also they don't have as many things on, so they can take a little more time in
yeah.
investing in them and then promoting them. And
yeah.
you know it's. I've only experienced it on this particular movie, but Nat Geo's been unbelievable. They just really they care so much.
All those places are just
well, and when you're
great.
Investing in a big project like this, and it's their big project, like Hatfields and McCoy,
yeah.
they're gonna invest a lot.
Right.
In it.
Yeah.
They're gonna promote the shit out of it.
And
yeah.
all these places are owned by either Viacom
yeah.
or
yeah, right.
same
Universal.
Five corporations.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
so
yeah.
it's not like they really are broke, even though they say they're you know. So but. I've had this discussion a lot about Bobby Kennedy.
Okay.
In that, I like to ask people what they think was the pivotal event in the second half of the 20th century that changed America the most. And now. I'll ask you guys what do you think in the second half of the 20th century what would be from 1950 what was but in your to you the most the thing that happened the a one thing happening that changed America the
yeah,
most
I was born in 83 the Thriller video yeah
okay
yeah
that changed the landscape
I would
well I will say this I know nothing about it like outside of what I've read but older
well,
people I've talked to it's Bobby Kennedy's assassination that
see,
was
my,
that was a popular opinion that I heard
my answer would have to be when the public turned on Vietnam. Because that created, I think, a permanent opposition culture in America where people were forever going to not trust institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that carried over to something we still have.
Okay, what's yours?
Well, it's funny.
I mean, most people say JFK.
JFK.
Yeah.
Most people would say JFK.
Yeah.
And the second half, I mean, I guess Hiroshima would be the first half,
yeah.
right? You know, the
1950
bond, right?
on.
But you're saying 1950 on. You think it's Vietnam? I mean, I don't think like I guess I don't think
disco
Watergate's a big enough event. Something that changed. I'd have to say Bobby because the promise
right.
was gone.
Right.
The,
right.
We
See,
lost
that's
the,
this
why
is where people.
We lost the innocence.
That's why the smart
Jack,
people
right?
I've talked to said Bobby exactly what you're saying.
Because we the promise. There was so much promise with Bobby.
Look at
exactly
and,
right.
And every you're the first people that have actually said Bobby and not JFK that I've ever asked this to.
Really?
Because and I always say no, it was Bobby because JFK could have still been shot. It could have not been shot.
Yeah.
Would have done his two terms. Bobby still would have ran.
Yeah.
And had Bobby been elected, which he would have been because he would have beat Nixon.
Sure.
If Bobby had done it, well, his platform for running was ending the Vietnam War.
Right.
So your Vietnam thing would never have happened. Watergate, your answer is stupid and uninformed. Anyway.
Yeah, it would have never happened.
Vietnam would have never happened. Watergate would never have happened because there'd be no Nixon. There would have everything.
So
would have,
many good films wouldn't
everything,
happen.
Everything would have been different.
Although
all the way up to now, because by the way, if Bobby had been president, it's very likely that Chappaquiddick also wouldn't have happened because he'd be alive, and they'd have groomed Teddy better, which means that Teddy might have got elected after
Teddy
Bobby.
Teddy may not killed anyone.
That's what I'm saying. There might have been no Chappaquiddick, and that would have meant that the Republican Party would have basically been wiped out by that many years of Democrats in the White House.
That's really fascinating.
Rewriting potential history is always an interesting subject.
Yeah, it's
isn't
always
it? Because you can imagine what it would be like. I wonder, like, Bobby's views on civil rights clearly were changing drastically, right?
Yeah.
And they started changing post-JFK's assassination. I mean, pre-JFK's assassination.
Right.
But once he was assassinated, that affected Bobby clearly. It was his brother. He idolized him in so many ways that he was able to empathize with people that had lost, that had less than.
Right.
That's the kind of promise I think he was giving people, where that he was in some ways equalizing everyone. Even though he grew up with a silver spoon, he still was able to look at someone and say, I understand.
He was also looked at as much more of a family man.
He had 11 kids.
And I think you were talking about earlier. In reality, Bobby Kennedy saved us from World War III.
Yeah.
Twice, because Jack Kennedy was a shitty president. If Bobby had not been there, Jack Kennedy might very likely have blown up the world. You know, but it was Bobby's temperance. And his intellect, you know, that where he when the Attorney General walked in the war room, it was like, what?
That's in our movie.
Get him out of
here.
That's
actually in our movie.
And his father had said, get your ass in there and save your brother.
That's exactly right.
So that's how much. But that's an interesting question about the movie.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes.
You bring up something very fascinating about the movie, though.
Yeah.
I want to know, because, you know, Bill O'Reilly wrote the book, and I know Bill writes these books as like part fact, part fiction. Do you know which parts are which when you're going through this? Do they tell you?
Well, like, any private conversation is fiction.
Yeah. I mean,
Bill puts in events sometimes, like in Killing Lincoln. I believe there was some things in the book that didn't necessarily happen.
Right.
That he likes to fictionalize these major events.
You know, he should be writing a book called, if he wanted to do a great book, he should write a book called "Not Killing Bobby Kennedy."
There you go. That is fascinating.
All
his books are about killing somebody.
But I'll tell you another interesting thing about Bobby Kennedy that very few people know is, and it was many, many years ago, Rolling Stone found one of the two Secret Service guys that somehow didn't die mysteriously that was assigned to Bobby's, you know, what are they called? His
Secret Service.
They were assigned to him to take care of him.
Yeah,
his
own. I can't remember. You know, they call it something. You know, his
detail.
It's detail.
That's good. There you go.
Okay, so all of Bobby's guys mysteriously disappeared, were killed, whatever. But Rolling Stone found this, like, two guys, and one of them did this interview and said the problem with Bobby was he had a death wish, and, you know, he felt so guilty about Jack getting killed that they had a hell of a time protecting him, because Bobby was a guy that always stood in front of the window, and they said, you know, Bobby, you know, there is a standing contract out on you. You can't stand in front of windows.
Have you seen the video of him campaigning in San Francisco? And he's driving through Chinatown and the fireworks go and he's standing in an open car. And he's driving through Chinatown. He's standing in a convertible. People are reaching the passion and emotion for this guy was overwhelming. You know, they were feeling for his brother and fireworks go off and his knees buckle and Ethel dives under the car and all Bobby does literally all that happens is his knees buckle. He stands right up and just starts shaking hands again. He snapped for
this guy says just,
and went right back to work and Ethel dove underneath the car.
This guy says Bobby's Catholic guilt is what killed him because he was always trying to get shy of his detail, and they were always chasing him around, going, "Bobby, don't do that! Don't stand there! Don't get out of the doorway!
Like
get out of the
mountains!" He made himself a target,
and there are those that theorize that because of the way he was brought up and his job, when Kennedy was killed, well, he's the Attorney General, okay? That's the head policeman of America. So when the president, what the Attorney General is supposed to do, his main job is when the president goes somewhere, secure the area the president's going to. And he did not go to Dallas.
Yeah.
He did not secure that area. It was the only time that he didn't go with him or go before him and secure an entire area.
Yeah.
And
there's where a lot of the inside job theory starts.
Well, they print the route in the newspaper.
But nobody ever says that Bobby stayed home that trip.
Yeah.
And again, there are people that say that by then, because of him starting up with the Teamsters and
Sam
Jack
Giancana.
And Jack screwing over Sam Giancana.
Yeah.
That old Joe Kennedy told Bobby, stay home on this one. And Bobby stayed in Virginia at his house and basically watched his brother get shot on TV like everybody else when really he should have gone there.
Well, Joe was running the show too.
Right.
Joe
was.
They all wanted to please Joe.
I mean, Joe was the one that said go in the war room and all this. And Joe said, sit it out. So Bobby didn't go. He did not secure that area, you know. And I mean, you know, if not, I still think Bobby's death was the main thing. But I also think had he, for whatever reason, done exactly what his job was, Jack Kennedy might not have been killed.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that
because
question.
Because that, you know, that whole grassy knoll thing.
Some of the stuff you're talking about is in the film.
Those buildings should have had Secret Service in every window and you know, Oswald and whoever else were shooting.
Maybe they
need
to bring Jack back for killing Bobby.
Well, listen, that would be fantastic.
I've suggested it.
They could do killing RFK and killing MLK. They could do it as a
You could also do like Martin Sheen and in 10 years
play Jack.
You'll play Jack.
They like to do that too. Yeah, sure.
It was such a great Bobby.
You are like set to now be on everybody's list to play a Kennedy the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad list to be on though.
I was gonna say
at least a project.
Didn't hurt Martin Sheen, who ended up where somebody, you know, Aaron Sorkin said, hey, you know what? Why don't we just make him the president?
Yeah. I think Martin Sheen played Jacqueline Onassis at one point. He played them all. Yeah.
He's played everybody but John.
And that's true. You could end up. I mean, that is where we're talking about how people don't see you as something else.
Yeah.
But if they see you as this guy who, he plays a really great politician, you never know. You may be in the next West Wing.
It's funny. People's perceptions are really funny, and they literally look at your last job. You know, what did you do in your last job?
That's the oldest Hollywood thing in the world.
It's
you know?
True, though.
Nobody
cares.
Nobody cares about, you know, they care about the very... not even the last job, unless the last job is on.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That's true.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
True.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Like
the
if
last
it's in the theater,
job doesn't matter.
Or not,
the last if
it,
no one
it,
saw
the,
it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Well, you know, I could send you the video. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? What is that? Why does no one want you to send them shit when you? They're like, oh, I didn't see it. Oh, I'll send it to you.
Because they don't, because they don't want to work.
Yeah, no, it, no.
They don't want to work unless you can like watch it.
See, I love Jack. He
unless,
knows.
Unless
he
can,
knows already.
If you can
they
watch
don't
it
want
on your
work.
Phone as you're dropping your kids off at school before you get to work, then that's probably.
Ron, what is it with people in LA? They just don't want to work.
The weather. It's 90 degrees today.
It's. You know, it's too easy. You know, it's like there's so much money floating around, and. You know, people, nobody, you know, if you just, you don't need a foot in the door. You need a shoelace
yeah.
in the door. And it's like, how many people do you know that like, want all the entitlements of stardom and success, but don't want to do any of the work
sure.
that actually gets you those things.
Sure.
And I happen to think reality TV is the real criminal here.
Yeah,
you know,
it definitely
you know,
blew it out of.
It's like
yeah.
Kim
it
Kardashian
it
should
it
be put in celebrity jail.
Yes.
And just, you know, it's
and
it's
it would
like,
be very full. It wouldn't be
right.
much room. Because it would
I would
be
like to see that Oz, that version of Oz, with some tough
Wait,
bitches
isn't that
in jail.
Is the new black?
Yeah, but right. I think it'd be better
and,
if Kim's like beating the shit
and
out of
And usually what's weird is... is that America usually figures this out.
Yeah.
You know, Gilbert Gottfried had a great line once about when Joe Piscopo was, you know, completely washed up and he was doing like a talk show in New Jersey trying to get something and
yeah.
And
probably and he, happy to be working.
Yeah, and he and somebody said, you know, what do you think? You know, Joe Piscopo was making movies, he was so hot and now nothing. And Gilbert goes, Joe Piscopo proves that every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, America is right.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
I, you know? I wish, I like to, I actually, I like putting in a day's work. I like getting up and going, you know.
Well, that's
and,
why you live in New York, Jack.
But not everybody does. You're right. But there's so much satisfaction in like and knowing that you get up and you go to work every day and you know you come home and you earn what you what
well
you
don't
get
New
it.
Yorkers
there's
say
so
isn't there
that
but everybody likes I mean you've already hit that point
yeah.
you know listen I was totally prepared to come in and just crush your dreams like a
no,
bug.
He'll save it for me Ronald save it for me
but you're but you're a charismatic guy and you look. You know, you haven't. You look.
Ron's trying
enough.
Not to sound too gay right now. He's about to
no,
say how good
care.
Looking you are.
No, you just.
I'll
you
do that. I'm known
got,
for telling all the men on our
enough,
show they're hot.
You know, you are. You're like this guy that's obviously.
You
know, you just play Bobby Kennedy. You're
yeah.
sort of firing on all pistons. Who's your agent?
Yeah.
Probably somebody really good.
Because
Ron's
don't
looking
have
for
agent.
One.
You don't have an agent.
I don't have an agent. I don't.
Who got
you don't
you?
Have an agent?
I don't.
Who put you up for this, for
I
killing
I
Kennedy?
I have a manager. I have a
Who's
manager.
The manager?
You have a good manager.
I have a manager. His name's Michael Einfeld.
So you said this motherfucker gets 15%. I ain't hiring someone else to get another 10. That's what you said.
Right.
And
you're
for
right.
A while, actually.
Why? What happened
I
with the agency
well with my
route?
Manager. I mean, you know, I guess
you
I
figured out agents don't do shit for
no,
you.
No, actually,
you?
That's not true. I think having I would love to have an agent that
sure.
that could join the team and
who's
contribute
invested
to the team,
in you though.
Who's invested.
You can't
well,
have an agent
but I mean,
they're out there.
Waiting
I would
for your
love
offer.
That. I
but I mean,
love
you've already
that person to join
you've,
my team
by doing this movie. You've done enough that see. You're actually doing it right because mm-hmm. it's now it's your manager's job to
right.
get you into Endeavor or CAA
that's right.
and,
that's true.
And package you with an agency.
So you hope they do that.
And in which then the agency will package you on a show.
Yep.
And you know, you'll
and then
be
you're doing 13 pilots.
Yeah, you'll be
years.
Yeah,
you
you'll
make
be
the change. You
you'll
the
be
coin.
Picking up little pieces of somebody's finger on some show going, you know, wow. Oh, this is, you know, the old, this was no boating accident.
Awesome.
Yeah. somebody killed this guy. And,
right, exactly. And you know what? I'll happily pick up that finger,
right.
And then on my hiatus, I'll go do a really creative, inventive play for 3 months off Broadway.
Right.
Right on.
That's so funny.
For 5 years. And then you'll go,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I can have a little part in a movie?
Yeah.
Instead of doing that play?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, listen, plays, there's always plays.
That's
you know,
thing.
But, you know, you'll do, listen, once you have a window of time.
Yeah, you do.
And when that window opens.
Yeah, you do.
Then it's like, you better, as I like to, you know, you better run and get like a dog. You better run for that tennis ball.
Dude,
bring it back.
Right now, because that window closes and then it takes a long time for it to open up again.
That's all show business is. It's like the tennis ball gets thrown and you're like a dog. You run after it and you bring it back.
Yep.
And over the years, the ball gets dirtier and it gets more slobber on it. But they keep throwing it. And as long as they keep throwing it and you keep going and getting it and bringing it back to the right person, you work.
And every now and
as soon
then,
as
I
you
love
get
the dog slobbering
as soon as you get as soon as soon as that ball
I take like, all my advice from Ron Zimmerman. Granted, I'm poor, jobless, have no girlfriend, boyfriends, nothing. But I take all my advice from Ron. No, I'm just kidding. Ron's right. Ron's
every
smart.
Now and then that ball goes through the sprinkler. And it gets clean again, and you can start all over.
Once in a while. You know, listen, my ball's been cleaned and slobbered so many times that I finally got to the point
I'm
12.
I love it when my balls are cleaned.
I finally hit that point where I went after the ball, I picked it up, I looked at who I was bringing it back to, and I went, fuck you. I'm not bringing you this nasty-ass ball. I cannot touch this grubby old ball one more time. I'm leaving it. And...
Oh,
you know,
that's what she said.
And and you walk away, but it's
the golden handcuffs.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but nobody. You know,
but Robert Kennedy, huge ratings. You should be set for a while.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, knock on wood.
You're gonna get
off. I know. You don't want to jinx it. You don't
want
to jinx it.
I'm not jinxing
but,
it at all. I want that.
And I'm not trying to jinx it. I'm just saying.
I think you have to put it out there.
Yeah.
You have to
you're
say,
no
look,
dense.
This is what I want. This is what
your
you want.
Your manager's working his ass off right now, putting you up for every fucking pilot.
You got to be with
every show.
Got to be with a 3.4 on that movie.
You know?
Please.
You know, he's showing your picture right now to somebody going, are you telling me... This, you know, Mark Harmon yelling at this guy won't work.
Yeah, right. That's true.
You know, this
That's
guy.
The one show on TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
you
the
know,
number one show
doing
on TV.
They're everything,
NCIS,
you know?
That's
yeah.
right. Criminal Minds ain't bad either.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Montaigne, what are you doing
right?
over
Hello.
Here? Do
you
me
know,
a favor.
He's doing everything. What do you mean? The only thing wrong with the Sean Hayes show is he doesn't have a boyfriend. Look at my guy here. Come on, this is the next Eric McCormick.
Yeah. You know? There you go. See, yeah, you can do Will and Grace. You can do comedy, right?
Yeah.
You've done comedy.
Yeah.
No, this
I mean,
guy,
when you're not doing really depressing action movies
no,
or
this,
horror
this cat
movies.
Can do anything. Have you done horror movies?
I have. I did Event Horizon.
You did Event Horizon?
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a really good
it
movie.
It's
the only movie that director made that thinks any
what,
good, but
what?
It's great.
I started watching it and was like, what is this? And then it was like,
it's
oh,
good,
my
right?
God,
it's
this
yeah.
is like the best science fiction movie.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so scary.
Yeah, Sam Neill. Everyone's just
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
I hear Lawrence Fishburne is the nicest man.
Yeah,
show.
I hear he's great, though.
Unbelievably kind.
They say he makes... Henry Winkler looked like, you know, Hitler.
Like Bruce Willis, who you've worked with.
Yes.
Surrogate, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But we love Bruce here. I was just defending Bruce before we left.
I defend Bruce.
Him.
We love the Bruce.
He's very nice to actors. He's not very nice to everyone else. But I get it.
He's
I
a
get
big
it.
Star.
Yeah.
You know?
Ron says that's okay.
What
does
he
have star?
Bruce
what?
Gets a movie
what?
Made.
I got,
know?
You know.
He gets a movie made.
It's like what? I got to, you know, do I still really have to memorize the whole crew's name?
I think Bruce
has
a little
worse
than that.
Haven't I been
doing
this? The crew, I have to memorize the lines.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, I mean, listen, Steve McQueen was doing that
Steve was
50 years
too.
Ago.
He was going,
you know, too many words.
Yeah.
Too many words. Yeah. You know, can't I just stand around? You know, I'll give you what you want. Take
I read a
words.
Biography about Steve McQueen, and let me tell you, I'm shocked he made it as far in life as he did. He is a guy that had a lot of luck. A very good-looking man, very good actor, but had a lot
good
of luck.
Looking.
But he had a lot of luck. Well, at that time, I think he had that rugged charm that
you know what it was
with
Steve McQueen? Mm. When you think about his body of work,
yeah,
which wasn't all that big.
No.
I guarantee you, every part Steve McQueen got was something Paul Newman turned
yeah.
down.
Right, absolutely. It was. It was.
Like Richard Gere, right?
Like Towering Inferno.
John Travolta.
And Pacino, too.
Yeah, they took
and Pacino, too.
You know, there's not one part. I mean, Cincinnati Kid is a ripoff.
Towering Inferno was supposed to be Paul Newman, too, and he turned it down. And
well, they both did it. But
They ended up both doing it.
But they switched the role.
Right.
Paul, Cincinnati Kid was a ripoff of The Hustler.
Right.
And that's all. It was like, let's do The Hustler, except with hotter chicks. You know, let's get Tuesday Weld and Ann Margaret and throw them in there.
Did you
and,
not like Cincinnati Kid, though?
No, it's a piece of shit.
Wow!
Great
piece
acting.
Piece of shit.
Great actors. But who wants to see people play cards for 2 hours? It's the most boring thing in the world. You know, it's like watching Checkers, you know. The only movie that took a board game was Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Right,
the only movie.
You like Searching with Bobby Fischer about chess.
Great movie.
Chess is okay.
I don't know how that guy made chess interesting, but he did. But the Cincinnati Kid, no, it's horrible. Ann Margaret and Tuesday Weld look so good, and Edward G. Robinson is cool.
Yeah.
And Steve McQueen is cool, but it's such an obvious ripoff of The Hustler. And
is that why you don't like it, though? Because you love The Hustler so much?
Part of it.
Because
it's too transparently a ripoff.
All right.
You know? And then every other Steve McQueen movie, I mean, it's like The Sand Pebbles. Well, Paul Newman could have done that.
Sure. Bullet.
You know, But I'm not sure Steve McQueen could have done all of Paul Newman's movies, although he could have done a lot of them.
That's very true.
Either one, I'm sure Cool Hand Luke was like, Steve, Paul,
he probably couldn't have done those the Tennessee Williams movies. He couldn't have pulled that off.
He couldn't.
You know, Paul Newman had real serious chops.
Yeah. I don't think he could have pulled those kind of things off.
Yeah.
There's nothing that Steve McQueen did.
What's that movie?
Lava.
No, you've never seen this?
No.
There's a terrible, by the same guy that did Towering Inferno. I'm blanking on that.
Yeah, I know.
Dino De Laurentiis?
No, yeah, no, it's not Dino. It was Irwin.
Irwin
Winkler. Winkler, thank you. He did Towering Inferno. He did all those.
No, it wasn't Irwin Winkler.
It wasn't?
No, he's a director.
Shall we Google
Irwin
it?
Irwin Allen. It's Irwin
okay,
Allen.
Thank you.
It's Irwin Allen.
And,
he, like, invented the disaster movie.
Yes, right. He did all those disaster movies about, like,
I think
the mosquitoes.
The Poseidon Adventure was the first one.
Poseidon Adventure and then Towering Inferno.
Actually,
and they
the first one
after that.
Was Airport with Dean Martin
did
and
he
Burt
do
Lancaster. I believe that was him, too. You can look it up or ask somebody.
I am looking it up.
Ask somebody. Let's see how many people...
He didn't do Airport. He's got Poseidon Adventure was his first hit.
Arthur...
Well, he did Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Okay.
Okay.
Then the Poseidon Adventure, then Towering Inferno, then awful movies like The Swarm. Oh, okay. When Time Ran Out, the volcano
movie that Paul Newman was contracted
to be in, and he didn't want to do it. He hated it. It was the worst experience of his life, he said. But it's terrible.
Paul Newman is also...
Steve could have done that one.
He's also the only guy that had a contemporary hit in every decade of his career.
He was still making great movies at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Still would go to, you know, he was a guy that everybody knew all the way up to, Slapshot, where, like everybody loves Slapshot.
I don't think Steve McQueen could have done Slapshot.
No,
he
could never have done it.
I don't think so.
And then The Verdict. You know, the verdict.
Yeah, The Verdict.
One of the great.
Steve McQueen couldn't have done Nobody's Fool.
Nobody's Fool was another one for,
Speaking of Bruce Willis.
Every generation he has had, until he died, he had a hit movie, big fucking hit movie.
That's right, he sure did.
And
Road to Perdition.
I don't think there's any.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think there's any leading man. I think if somebody wrote a book and said, who's the greatest movie star? Of, again, the second half of the 20th
probably
century.
Probably Newman and Nicholson.
It would be Newman.
Newman.
You think Nicholson's not there?
He'd be right after him, but he'd be after him because Newman, his career lasted longer. You know, so
well, Jack's still around.
Newman
yeah.
did
Jack's
more movies.
Got, you know, there's...
Newman did more movies, but Jack was pickier about his work.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
is.
But
yeah, is. But, well, I think Jack's pretty much done acting. That's why I hear. Mm. I hear he's not going to do it anymore. We'll see. I hope not. I love him. I hope he does one more.
He
but,
will. He will.
He'll show up.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's like great. Redford. He, you know, he's not going to. You know, Redford's
well,
going to be great in this movie. He's got out.
Yeah,
yeah
all
yeah.
things
I think
lost.
Beatty's done.
Yeah, well, Beatty's been done since Town and Country. I don't know why he won't do anything either. He's difficult, though.
I think he's kind of...
He's probably not be done directing.
He's
I
great.
I think he's done.
They're all
period.
Great, but I think they're all getting to that age where it's like, it takes
but
much.
Yeah, except look at Clint Eastwood.
That's true. Clint's the man,
you know,
though.
And Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Robert
yeah.
Redford did a movie
where
he's
in
the
middle
only
of the
one
ocean.
In it.
Yeah.
And he's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, he's like turned into Spencer Tracy.
I
know?
Do love Redford. I love Redford. He's underrated.
He's, you know, I mean, he did. He's done some in the last few years. He did that one with Morgan Freeman and Jennifer Lopez that was great.
Oh, An Unfinished Life.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Yeah.
It was all right.
Great. It's like a great little movie.
I didn't see that movie.
I like Lasse
Hallström.
Lasse Hallström. I love him. So, yeah.
You know, I mean, he always works
with great
people. Who's
he married to? Lena Olin.
That's right. Lena Olin. That's right. Man, she was hot for like a few years.
Yeah.
Lena Olin. She's got
she
this
was in
weird
that
look
Richard
to her.
Richard Gere
that
I mean.
Yeah, she was in the. I know what you're talking about.
Was,
Intersection
was,
or
no,
what
was
it?
It
was a bad one.
It was the name of a...
Not Intersection. What's the other one? The one
Mr.
where he's the
Jones.
Crazy guy. Mr. Jones.
Oh,
the Counting
okay.
Crows song.
And I well, actually, it's from Bob Dylan's
right.
song. And I met him and said, you know, dude, I... Cause
Gere? You're talking about Richard Gere you met?
Yeah.
Okay.
My ex-girlfriend, if you remember the movie, there's a blonde girl in it.
Yeah.
That he was, like, fooling around with and played piano for and stuff. She was my girlfriend many years ago. So I met him and I said... You know, I love Mr. Jones. And he was like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, here's the guy that loved Mr. Jones, you know. And I said, I have one question for you. How could you make that movie, Mr. Jones, and not use the Dylan song, you know, Ballad of a Thin Man, but you know that he's having it, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? And he said, you know what? I wanted that song, the whole... thing was to use that song as the score
sure.
of the whole movie. The movie went
yeah,
way
it's
over budget.
Mr. Fucking Jones.
He says the studio cut off my budget and I had to pay for the last quarter of the movie
holy
and the editing. I had to pay out of my own pocket.
Richard had paid for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and he said I you know and I just didn't have the money. To buy the song at the
how
end.
How much do you think a song like that's...
Dylan songs cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, because it's Columbia and
sure.
CBS, and he
sure.
goes, there was just no money left, so I couldn't use it. And it's the same thing with Tombstone. Kurt Russell had to put up his own money to finish the movie.
I think he actually ended up directing that too, right?
Sort of.
He
yeah.
maybe not on...
Well, they
not,
fired
not
the
on,
original guy.
Not on screen. But,
they fired the original guy. The script
and then he took
was
over.
Like this really gay thing.
So the script was gay. How
yeah.
so?
And the guy that wrote
it. Wait, I don't know what that means.
The guy that wrote it, Kevin Jarre,
yeah.
had done tons of research and found that in the Old West, there was a lot of gay stuff going on.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
and, you know, it's like, you know, these guys were out on those cattle drives for a year.
Yeah, it's not true.
And they had horses and each other, you know. It's like prison. So
they literally wrote gay subtext into the script.
Tons of it.
Okay.
And actually, if
okay.
you watch that movie now, I always say it's great because it's two movies. One movie is this really interesting homoerotic kind of... You know, Western.
Yeah, Val Kilmer seems to do a lot of those.
And the other one is this great old-fashioned John Wayne-y Western. So there's only
yeah.
two movies. But if you look
I
at like
totally see that
Jason
actually.
Priestley's character is in love with Billy Zane, and when he dies, he like flips out and goes up to the thing. Why did you kill him?
Well, that sounds like a much better movie than the movie that ended up coming out.
No, if you watch
yeah.
Tombstone,
yeah.
it's all in there. You know, and when I was supposed to. Do this thing with Kurt Russell, and I asked him about it, and he said, "We, you know, when we first started, they changed directors. They fired Kevin Jarre and got this guy, George Cosmatopoulos or something. And he said, you know, me and Val, if they ever showed like the outtakes, he goes, me and Val were doing the thing, you know, in rehearsals, we did it completely gay. And we were like walking down this, you know, when we did the, you know, we rehearsed the gunfight of the OK Corral. And we were all holding hands when we walked down the street, and you know, like swinging our arms and stuff. And he said, because the original script was factual, but really gay, and they had to like take all the gay shit out and turn it into.
I think they should put it back in and re-release that movie, and I'm sure it would be a hit.
It's a huge hit. Yeah. That movie
made
so much money later. I mean, there's no kid that has not seen Tombstone.
No.
There's no college kid. It's a huge cult movie. You know, it's made a fortune. You know, it just didn't make a lot in the run.
I'm going to make the really gay remake.
Over the years, that movie is, it's almost at the level of Big Lebowski, where it's hard to find somebody that has not seen Tombstone. Even if they just watch it because somebody goes, Val Kilmer is so great, and you know,
sure.
I'm your Huckleberry. It's part of the lexicon.
Yeah,
you know. So, I mean, listen, if you, and by the way, you know, you look a little like Val Kilmer too.
I know.
But I mean, if you got offered,
I know I do. People tell you that.
People tell me that all the time. I've worked with Kathleen Quinlan a couple times.
Yeah,
and she was in The Doors with Val.
She's great.
Right.
So we've become pals, and she frequently says. She's frequently said, every now and then I turn around and think, Jesus, you look just like Val.
Yeah.
So
the only thing about if you came into my office is about Bobby Kennedy.
Well, I don't know about that, but
he's a little more of a pretty boy than
you. Oh, he is. Yeah.
But there's still, yeah. There's
you're better looking than Val right now.
There's a thing. You know what? I saw him.
It's Mark Twain. Did you go see that?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he lives right near where I'm staying. And,
yeah.
And he's thin. And he looks really good.
He's such a good actor. He's such a good actor.
No, he's great.
Amazing actor. I've been trying to get him to do this pilot.
He's so
I wrote
good.
For years.
Well, go over to his house. You know where he lives.
We
stalk him, Ryan.
We tried me and my ex-girlfriend who used to go out with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that.
And we've tried, but he's a very obsessive guy, and
yeah.
he's so into this Mark Twain thing
that he literally won't read a script. It's his life right now.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say to you though is like if you came to my office for Killing Kennedy, I'm doing Killing Kennedy. I'm the casting person. You don't look as old as Bobby Kennedy. I mean, you look 28, 29. You look younger than me. I'm 30.
At the time,
and
he
I'm
does.
Older
yeah,
than
like
I,
right
I,
now, he looks young.
I mean,
that's true.
I'm sure you take the glasses off and do the hair thing.
No,
that's
they put
true.
A wig on me. They put
teeth
in me.
That's why I'm not a casting director.
You know, I'm always interested about wigs on guys in movies. You know, because, you know, it's like they're really good.
Yeah.
Now, like Rob's hair could have been that, but probably was a wig too. You don't know. which means, of course, it was. Because, I mean, if yours was, so was this. They probably have, like, the Bobby and Jack wig.
They probably do. They get around.
You know,
what we had were just little pieces in the front to help create the same look. And
I need
Bobby
one of those.
Their hair was really thick. So they're trying to recreate that particular thing. And I had teeth as well. Because Bobby had terrible teeth.
Right.
So they had to recreate his teeth and make a mold that fitted.
There was actually... That movie, it was also on one of the, you know, an odd channel, I don't know, within the last couple of years, and it was a Kennedy thing, and that actor, Barry Pepper.
Yeah,
Barry Pepper played Bobby.
Right,
yeah.
In that,
that was the one with Greg Kinnear
and
Katie Holmes.
And
that's right.
It was never released here.
It was released on the
Barry
real.
Barry Pepper's a good
the
actor.
Real
was, good
yeah.
career, man.
Yeah,
Barry
it was on
Pepper
the real. They
actor,
lost
yeah.
all their money, and they did show it.
Yeah.
And Katie Holmes, surprisingly good.
Yeah, she's good.
And Greg Kinnear, that's kind of a lock, You know, I mean,
Katie Holmes in certain roles is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Kinnear is, oh, I've never seen him be bad.
Yeah.
No.
But Barry Pepper was such a surprise because he had no Bobby Kennedy look going for him at all. And yet he was the most believable one.
Man.
Just by just pure acting skill.
Battlefield Earth. Battlefield Earth ruined that guy's career
that
so bad.
Guy.
What did?
Battlefield Earth ruined the trajectory. He was, but they were grooming him to be a movie star.
He's a really good actor.
And
never
they did Battlefield Earth, and
he's
just went down.
He's just
the
a great actor.
He is a great actor for 61.
I mean,
did you see 61?
But that guy may not want to be a movie star.
No,
you know?
Maybe
I mean,
not.
That's not everybody's goal.
No,
not
no,
everybody wants to be a movie star.
I have this saying of you know, when somebody does, you know, there's a. Boy, I'm name dropping like crazy, but
keep dropping them.
Tim Allen,
yeah,
who I've worked with, and we did a pilot together and stuff, and sort of became friendly. And he once told me the greatest thing a big star ever said to me, the most humbly kind of thing, where he says, you know, he goes, people don't get it. He goes, I know I'm not a movie star. I'm a guy that's starring in some movies, but I'm a TV star.
Hmm.
He goes, I'm not a movie star. I'm a TV star that's been got really lucky with this Santa Claus thing. So I get to star in some movies, but no one is going to remember me as a movie star.
That's one way to look at it.
People are going to remember me as a great TV star.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah, he's
so
smart.
And I always say, like, Kiefer Sutherland was never going to become a huge movie star. He was a guy that starred in a bunch of movies.
So you think a guy like Barry Pepper
is a great TV star.
But there's only so much room for that, you know? And so people just want to work and continue to work with people that they like and
but
feel like they're getting good product out there and getting their...
But there's
getting
a difference.
But I don't necessarily know if that being that movie star, being that guy, it is if you're saying that that's the ultimate goal. I'm not sure that's the ultimate goal for everyone, nor this guy, like Tim Allen, is able to recognize that that's not what he is, so that's fantastic. And so I don't think the career can be looked at as any less than for not being someone else's idea of what, you know.
It's not less than, it's just this guy does his own reality check.
Right.
I always say, you know, when Charlie Sheen first went to, you know, and took 2 and a Half Men, I said, finally, Charlie Sheen has figured out, take series like a man. You're not a movie star.
Take your series like a man.
Claire Danes, take your series like a man.
Well,
you know?
What do you have coming
just,
up right
just
now?
Just take it.
I did this movie called Julia, where I play a psychiatrist that this guy
You play Julia?
No. I play a psychiatrist that helps female rape victims. But it's a thriller. It's a psychological thriller.
Okay.
And I help them with
who's Julia?
This girl Ashley Williams, who was in this movie, The Human Centipede.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's an interesting girl. She's a really interesting girl.
That's a really interesting movie.
I've never seen that movie.
Did you
know,
do any other,
that's like her big. That's her.
Did
big
you do
movie.
Any other horror movies?
Excuse me.
Did you do any other horror movies?
Just Event Horizon.
Oh.
Well, Idle Hands is kind of horror.
Idle Hands is kind of
horror comedy-ish.
Yeah.
But so Julia and it's
and the trigger effect was just horror. Horror.
Well, I got killed very early.
You're
the trigger
lucky
effect. You.
Who
yeah.
Lucky
you.
Who was in that?
But that was David Koepp's directorial debut.
Yeah.
Was that Elizabeth Shue?
Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. Yep. Kyle
I
McLaughlin.
Have such a crush on Elizabeth
and,
Shue.
I would.
You would sit through this for Elizabeth.
No, I would take an ice pick and whack it in all three of your heads. if
I love how it's everyone else that gets to
if
die
God,
for you.
If
to
God just
Elizabeth.
All of a sudden went. You want Elizabeth Shue? Here's what you got to
no
do. I would do such a...
God has you kill us. God has you kill us to give you a married woman in your... Okay. All right. Well,
I'm following. Hey.
That's an interesting God.
Yeah, right.
You have a very interesting God.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's the same God that said, you know, hey, what was it, Jacob? You know, kill your son?
Yeah.
It's that God. Right. It's that same God that says, hey, Jesus, get up on that cross. Sorry, bud. You know, it's like that old Bill Maher joke. You got to pay the check for the whole table, buddy.
That's why the Westboro Baptist
cross.
Church loves us.
You know, Elizabeth, she was still married to that same guy.
I think so, right? Well, she's beautiful.
That makes me sad.
She's on that CSI now, right?
Boy, she's aged great.
Well, Jack, I'm going to bring on Sam.
Thank you, boys.
I'm so happy you came by to do this. Killing Kennedy's the film. It's on Friday again
on Nat Geo. Yeah.
I'm sure it's on like 20 times.
It'll be on like 20 times in the next few months. How exciting. That's exciting. Yeah, you have a channel devoted to Jack Noseworthy.
I like Bill O'Reilly, personally. So, was he around?
He came by one day.
Yeah.
He came by to make sure everyone was doing
the
job.
Who wrote the screenplay?
This guy, Kelly Masterson.
Okay.
He did a great job.
Bill's a busy guy, though. He doesn't have time to come by and watch your movies.
He's tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
He's a big guy.
He's very proud of the movie, too. I mean, he's been promoting it, and he's
he's just
a really great job.
He owns the biggest piece of it.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
That's how he got it
Or he got paid off really well to sell it. Yeah.
You know.
All right, I'm going to let you boys bring your next guest on.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, thank you
You're
so
the best,
much
brother.
For being here. I'm at Jack Noseworthy on Twitter.
Thank you.
There you go.
Are you going to come do the show again? You'll come again?
I would love to come do your show
again. All right, very good.
Especially in... And next time, I think I'm going to get a deep dish pizza.
Well, you get one right now.
No. I'm going to actually go to dinner.
Oh, what is the nationality of that last name, bud?
It's all English.
English.
It's all English. My family.
Noseworthy.
Are originally from England, the UK, but my family's through Newfoundland and then into Massachusetts.
So is your name Jack, or is that?
My real name is John, but was funny on our
Jack
movie,
Kennedy?
Like John. Rob was playing Jack, and Jack was playing.
Yeah, that's
Bob.
Funny.
So. My real name is John. So
John Noseworthy.
John Noseworthy. John Noseworthy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's my real name. But my nickname has always been Jack. My dad was Jack, so.
And whatever your secrets are to look so young, you're going to let me know, right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 417 years old. Yeah, I only come out at night.
Wow. I can't believe I met somebody
the same age as me. I know how old you are, and it pisses me off. Because I'm 30, and he really is like 413 or something.
I am.
He really is.
You know how old that makes me?
Old, Ron.
That makes me like I might as well be dust. You know,
in L.A.
Yeah, I'm something you can sweep up.
I hope that doesn't happen because I've certainly enjoyed talking to you.
No.
I've enjoyed it. Listen, man, you are going to work.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
it. There we go.
And I am going to watch that movie on account of you.
Thank you, brother. All right, you
strong handshake, too.
All right, thanks, man.
I'm tired of being jealous of every good-looking guy that comes on the show. Let's bring on a really ugly guy like Sam Yeager right now.
He's probably married.
Like, disgusting. Oh, yeah, they're all married. These guys are all taken and like...
Good.
Yeah, they're
good.
They're not like us, Ron, single and miserable. And
how is he walking out with the headphones?
I don't know. I guess I'm on him. All right.
Why don't we have headphones?
Now, Sam is from, you can watch him on Parenthood at the moment.
Why don't we have headphones?
What are you
hearing?
So I can hear what, because I need to adjust the board.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
so
that's
they're not
all, it'll distract you. Yeah, no, we don't need that. Ron Zimmerman, Sam Yeager.
Hey, Ron.
Sam. Now,
Sam is on Parenthood right now, but he also did this film I love called Take Me Home in 2011.
Dude, and it's better looking than the other guy.
I know. It's like one after another. And it's basically your movie. So I do want to talk about Take Me Home as well. You did this independent film, 2011. I mean, you've been acting for a long time.
Yeah,
10 years or so, 15 years professionally.
Yeah, I've been acting since
99. Okay, so it was... Tell us about your big break. Where did you get started?
Oh, man, I don't even know if I've had it yet. I just...
No? Paul Thomas Anderson movies aren't big breaks enough?
That was kind of the bee's knees for me.
Yeah. You're feeling good right now.
It's kind of been,
Parenthood for 3 years, not enough?
You've been on Parenthood for 3 years?
Yeah, three, 4 years? 4 years?
Wow.
My bread and butter for about a decade was playing the guy on the cop show that you think is the guy who...
Law and Order.
...but is actually just a jackass.
Yeah. You were always the smarmy jackass. You're really good at playing...
Red herring.
You're even smarmier than Ron and me.
That's so wait,
you're welcome.
You've been on Parenthood 3 years.
Yeah.
That means you got
He's that married show goes, to Erica that, Christensen on the show.
Mm-hmm. If that show goes two more seasons, you basically never have to work again.
Yeah, I think even if it goes one more season.
Really? And, do you have 100 after one more season?
It's fair to say, with the job I have on this show, I'm hardly working now. It's the most obnoxious job that an actor could have.
Are you considered a regular or reoccurring?
Yeah, he's a regular.
Yep. You're considered a regular.
Yeah.
He's in that opening credits.
You're
going to
make money for the rest of your life off this thing. That show is going to syndicate so much better than it does on first run.
I know. It's been every year I feel like we've just barely scraped by.
Yeah, what network is that?
NBC.
NBC. So yeah. So when this NBC is also TNT or no, what's
Universal.
The what's the cable?
Universal, it's
outlet.
USA.
Okay, so you're going to be on USA for 10 years. Dude, because everybody's going to have to go back and see that show from the beginning.
God willing, Ron, you'll
figure
be so
it out.
Sick of me in 7 years.
It's going to
You're
be,
hoping people are sick of you in 7
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Are you
put out a hit on me?
Is your contract for 7 years?
Oh, it's for whenever they decide I'm dead.
Really? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean...
No, I mean, usually...
Don't they usually sign you 5-year deals
yeah,
or whatever?
When you sign, when you do a series, you have to sign for at least 5 years.
Yeah, ridiculous amount of years.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, so, it's for every year they just decide to renew you or not.
How close
know?
Are they to 100 episodes?
We're at 80-some, so yeah, we've got one more year, we'll do it.
One more season,
yeah.
You're set, man.
I know. Well, this has been great, guys.
Well,
this has been a
wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
So close.
Well,
thank
at this point, they're not even going to cancel Paranoid ever because you got to get to the 100. That's where they make money too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You're
no,
good.
After
you're good
years,
another year.
After 3 years, they keep you on.
Well, congratulations, Sam.
Guys,
this is great.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Next time I need financial planning, this is where I'll come.
Ron Zimmerman's your
Chicago,
guy.
Ron Zimmerman.
He's your guy.
Where?
Anyone needs financial planning,
you
know, it's Ron.
If you don't live in a great house, I'm going to reach over here and slap you. You have a wife? You got kids?
Oh, he's got a beautiful wife. They star and Take Me Home together.
Where do you live?
I live out in Pasadena.
Oh, you do have kids, though?
In
I'm
Pasadena.
I know. Pasadena's
It better be a hell of a nice place.
I love
That's
Pasadena.
All I
better, yeah. Well, it's
Pasadena has some great houses.
Yes,
yeah,
and they do.
You better
it's,
be in
you know,
one.
It's just far enough out that I can pretend I've left. That it's a
yeah,
mini vacation.
That's what
I
love.
I get on the freeway.
How big? How big is the lot?
How
big is the lot?
How big's the lot of your house?
How big's the lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's like an eighth of an acre.
An eighth of an eighth of an acre.
It's enough to throw the ball to my German Shepherd.
Have you ever been to Jack's Bar? He's in the basement with the pool hall.
An eighth of an acre. You should have more than that.
I
agree. You know, maybe I'll just knock on the neighbors and just tell them it's time to get
do
out.
Do you live at Pies and Burgers?
As soon as you get to 100, as soon as you get to 100 episodes, knock on the neighbor's door and go, "How much you want for the house?" And then tear it down, and you know,
a condo.
No, just or keep it, and then just put a and you know put something to a.
Yeah.
Put the houses together and
Ron,
take the whole lot.
We've covered my finance, my real estate.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about my spirituality if we can get into that.
Oh God, yeah.
Your spirituality.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think it's safe to say you're not Jewish.
By the way, we were just talking about Clint Eastwood. Wasn't that like your first film, a Clint Eastwood film?
Yeah, back
Blood
in the
Work.
Day. Yeah.
What was it?
It's a small role, but it was
in
my
Blood
niche
Work?
Of being the guy that you think is the guy that killed somebody on the law shows. I've also been. Cut out of great films or been in directors' films just before they started doing really great films. So I was in Blood Work before Clint did Mystic River.
Uh-huh.
But he had already done Unforgiven.
That's true.
Clint
so,
is like
he,
the greatest.
He had already won his Oscar.
He goes in waves.
Yeah.
He already won an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you tell Clint he goes in waves?
I said to him, I hope this one's good. And
Clint was he was already a true auteur.
Yeah. I tell you what, the coolest
and Blood Work is not a bad movie.
No, it's not
the
bad.
Thing I learned
though
from,
it's obvious
watching...
Jeff Daniels is the killer like 2 minutes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not bad. Angelica Houston's amazing and everything.
Yeah.
Is that Isaiah Washington?
No, that's
a different one. That's where he's a reporter.
The thing I learned about watching...
No, Isaiah was being a terrible human being at the time.
That's true.
Yeah. That's what he was doing.
I love Isaiah Washington.
Do you?
Yes.
He says...
You should have him on your show.
I do want to have him on my show after Blue Caprice, which he's amazing in, but you know, he said some awful shit.
No,
he was
supposedly said one awful thing.
I don't know. He said some things on Facebook, too, that make me kind of roll my eyes.
I would assume there's plenty of awful things that were said on Grey's Anatomy over the years.
That's true.
Yeah, you know.
That's true.
You know, I got a feeling that that was kind of a...
How come you didn't do Grey's Anatomy?
There was no one I could kill on it.
Wait, do you have a conspiracy theory about this Isaiah Washington thing, like, 10 years later? All right, Ron, give us your conspiracy theory.
Just because I'm slightly
intrigued.
Just because I know how TV shows work.
All right, how'd it work?
Let's hear it.
I am fascinated.
You probably
he's on a TV
by now
show,
too.
So he may be able to confirm this. Right. Sam
Patrick
may be able
Dempsey
to get
is the money.
Yeah, he is the money.
Right?
That's why I call
At
him.
At the time, Isaiah Washington was kind of also the money, but not as much as Patrick Dempsey.
Not as much the
they
money.
They were known to not get along.
Uh-huh.
And I think when that, you know, at the end of whatever that season was, he went to, you know, the showrunner and said, you know what? I'd like to come back next season, but Isaiah's really bugging me. And, you know,
Pat Dempsey?
And I can't believe it. Oh, you think Patrick Dempsey doesn't
PD?
Know?
He's an angel.
No way,
not PD. Yeah, no, he's an angel.
Man, McDreamy has been around. He's as old
Ron,
as Nick.
Ron, when you call him McDreamy, you just made that show a hit again.
I love Grey's Anatomy.
Do you really?
Absolutely. I've never missed one.
Really?
Love it. That's absolutely amazing. Love it. But I know that when somebody gets fired because they, you know, quote, said a bad thing to another actor, there's always more going on to it.
No, I believe that.
He said a bad thing.
I believe
to an
that
actor.
Because people
how
say
does that
bad
even
things
get
on
reported?
All the time.
Yeah.
That's
how
a good
it,
point.
How does it even get reported unless somebody
but,
says, hey,
can we say there probably was an incident and they used it as a scapegoat to get rid of Isaiah? Okay.
I also think that there's a grace, you know, having worked with actors, you know, actors get a lot of grace.
Yeah.
You got to be a pretty colossal asshole to get
cut
from a show. And so I don't know.
Well,
I'm sure there's also financial things in that corner.
Yeah,
so
you know, he could have been. Yes. He could have also. Yeah, he could have been asking for more money than Patrick Dempsey. And I mean, we know Patrick Dempsey was the impetus.
Yeah.
You know, it was that he said something about the gay guy, but it was Patrick Dempsey that made the big thing out of it, not the gay guy.
Yeah.
So it's like. Patrick Dempsey already
like
had
get,
a heart
I
on
mean,
this guy.
I got a lot. I love gossip. I'd like to get the scoop on that.
Patrick
especially,
Dempsey,
especially gossip that's over 8
years
old.
Yeah, 8 years old gossip's my favorite.
That should
like
be the
guy.
Niche of this show.
That's when you know you're living in Pasadena.
Listen, we'll
when you get gossip 8 years
more.
Later.
I mean, I'm still up in arms about it.
You know,
I
come on.
Want to get to my
everybody loved the plastic surgeon who just conveniently died in the plane crash. I mean, that plane crash was like, okay, time for some weeding.
Wait, are we going back to
Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, I thought we
no,
were
back
Grey's
to
Grey's,
Anatomy. But this was Grey's last year.
They,
now.
They crashed a plane, and it was like, all right, let's get rid of Dr. Grey's. Dr. Grey's little sister. That's not working out. Let's get rid of her. Get rid of the good-looking plastic surgeon. He's a pain in the ass. Let's get you know who can we get rid of?
I love how there's like no creative reasons to write people off shows in Ron's mind. They're just all
there,
people we want to get rid of.
Any creative reason?
Yeah.
No,
has anyone
really.
Been written off of
no.
Parenthood creatively?
It always makes a good plot point if you can blow somebody up. Unfortunately, ours is just about families, and it's hard
it would
to,
be really obvious Craig T. Nelson's
oh,
a dick if he
are
blows
you kidding?
Up
you,
in an episode.
On a family show, you can get rid of anybody because anybody on a family show can get cancer and die.
That's true.
And it makes for a great, you
this
know,
is why
six
Ron's
episode.
A really good writer. That just came right to it. Yeah. Cancer and die.
Well,
you know,
I guess that should prove to us that Monica Potter's a good gal.
She must be a good gal because she had cancer and lived.
Of all people to get canned from our show, she would have been it based on storylines alone.
Well, look at the I mean, I know the original was what's her name, from ER?
Maura Tierney?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now she really got cancer and had to quit.
Yeah,
that's a separate thing entirely.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't.
Again,
no.
great.
They
great
didn't
gossip.
Write more.
No,
off.
But that's not even gossip because that's real and it happened. And she's a great actress,
oh,
and obviously
Maura's the best.
Would never have been fired.
And then she did Rescue Me, and was phenomenal.
She was great.
Yeah.
She is. You know, I actually I read this somewhere that There are certain celebrities that are the most dreamed about celebrities. Madonna.
Where's Sam on that list?
Madonna being one of them.
Madonna?
Yeah.
All right.
Madonna and Maura Tierney, these are the top
you
two?
See, Maura Tierney is one of the top, like, five women that men have, like, dream about as their perfect woman.
Okay, you're not talking about literally dreaming, like REM.
Literally
about,
dreaming.
No,
literally having a dream
it
about.
Comes into your dreams, okay. More.
I've been studying dream analysis for 35 years.
Do you know how that affects your Q score? Is that
it don't hurt it. I have met so many guys that you talk to, and not obviously not much because she's not on anything. Not so much in the public eye, but like when ER was on and stuff, I met so many guys, including me, that I remember my shrink.
She may have tapped into the next media.
I remember
my
shrink saying, you know, God, that woman on ER, you know, and it's like she just was a fantasy woman for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And literally, this, you know, the statistics come from psychiatrists who monitor people's dreams.
Yeah.
And
I believe you because I have nothing to go against it with.
Well, you know, in the 70s, I mean, like I said, I've been studying this shit for 35 years. In the 70s, Woody Allen was, for women, was one of the most dreamed about guys.
Stop it.
No,
but it wasn't that he was the perfect guy. It was just that women had dreams, dreams.
Nightmares.
About Woody Allen, being with Woody Allen, probably from Annie Hall or whatever.
Yeah, that's...
And it was, you know, it's just a cultural thing that happens, you know, that there is like this weird sort of list of people.
I believe
and I just remember Maura Tierney was one of them.
That's
fair.
I like that. So what's your Q rating, Sam? You up there?
I think it's a 3.8.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is
but
it?
That may be a GPA.
Yeah, right.
I honestly don't know what it is.
I don't
either.
I don't
know how to gather it.
Up to 100? How does that work? You know, you got an
this
Q rating.
This dude's always going to work, too.
Yeah, he's always going to work. Yeah, sure.
You're always
well, thanks, guys.
And smarmy.
Again, why I'm here.
Yeah, right.
I was a shell of a man when I got on the freeway. And now I'm going to go home a champion.
Yeah, right. Back
I'll
to Pasadena.
Yeah, you could do, you know, you can do those hour shows. You're another one that could, you know, pick up a foot and go, and, you know, go like I don't think, I don't.
Well, God willing, you know, I transfer right from
somebody,
parenthood into...
Yeah,
like
picks up a foot and goes, whoever did this is very strong.
Yes.
You know? it's someone did this with their bare hands.
Listen, it's always been a dream of mine to lift up sperm samples 45 years.
On the other hand, you could do like I could if I was casting a show and I had like a
let's do this.
I don't know if this reference is too old or not. A Ted Baxter.
I don't think that's too old. I mentioned Otis Redding's death.
You know, right, and they're about
I would cast.
Time.
I could easily cast you as a Ted Baxter kind of guy.
Sure,
I'll take it.
Super shallow news guy.
That is, you're too kind.
Completely
you
narcissistic.
You get to do Caddyshack after that too, so you're all set.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily go into comedy because you have your face is like sort of perfect.
There's a future. I do have a laughable face.
You have a funny face.
I've been told that many times.
You could also be
by many women.
He could, you know, also he's good. He could be Sam Malone in a Cheers.
I could see that
big tall guy.
But
once was a baseball player.
Yeah.
I'm just wearing.
You know,
okay, I'm going.
We're
a jog
you for life.
Dude,
you know. Are you going to do another film of yours? Like, are you personally going to do?
Yeah,
directed, written by the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you do that?
I did.
You did. Would Take Me Home.
You know, hopefully it'll take less than my lifetime to do.
How long did this one take you?
Oh, it was, you know, it took, I think, 7 years.
Seven years?
That's why I hate movies.
I know.
I mean, being in the business.
Yeah.
It takes forever.
Yeah. It was exhausting.
Why 7 years?
Because I'm poor.
Yeah.
I actually had somebody put me in contact with Sophia Loren's son, and he was going to give me tips on how to finance. And I realized that I was talking to Sophia Loren's son.
Yeah, that was your best. If that was your best option.
No matter what he said, I just filtered it through. Okay, Sophia Loren's son.
Yeah.
What's next?
It's a nightmare.
How else do I? Yeah. How else do I finance
making
myself?
Movies? If you got them in 7 years, you're lucky.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
I mean, look at the movies you hear about big stars going. You know, I've been trying to get this done for 12 years. You know,
yeah,
I'm going to go make a film now.
They're
that's what I'm doing in February.
Oh, you are?
Sam's like, hey, we're fucking around. No, I am. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Where?
Chicago.
There you go. Started here, right?
Know how long it took me to put that together?
Let's hear it.
10 years.
6 months.
6 months.
Listen, don't be an ass. All right? I come on the show,
but
you build my confidence up, and then you smash it down.
My film could suck. Yours is actually good. By the way, my favorite guest in the world is in your movie, Lynn Shay.
Oh, Lynn Shay is hysterical.
I love her.
And I was your favorite guest in the world.
You're all right.
So lovable, so out of the voice.
I hate you.
You're a close second.
He lost weight and he's so cocky. Now. I'm making a movie. Fuck you and your movie. I'm making a movie.
It took me 6 months. You know what? I'll make it 3.
Yeah.
I may make one right after that. I may make another one in the summer.
What's so hard about making a movie? 7 years.
All right, but
what are you, an idiot?
But here's the difference. Mine cost peanuts. Yours actually looks like it cost something.
Yours cost a million.
Well, that was a trick.
Is yours going to be $1 million?
No, not $1 million.
Right.
No.
No,
mine cost
peanuts, but we had the landscape of the entire United States to make it look like a lavish.
Was it digital?
It was. It was like the beta.
It looks really good,
camera.
Though.
What's it
yeah,
about?
It looks really
give me the
good.
Give me the byline in the old using
this is
that
great.
Old saying.
It's a great
give
movie.
Me,
it's
give
about
me like
a,
here's
the elevator pitch.
Here's how
sure,
you,
here
like,
we are.
Here's the elevator pitch for Jaws. Shark terrorizes small town.
Right. I know. And I'll go to it. I'll go
you know,
to it
right.
again. What is it? Shark terrorizes. I'm there.
Yeah, right.
Okay, what's
this
your...
This is about a woman who gets into a cab in New York when her life's falling apart and talks the cabbie into driving her across the United States.
That's cool.
Isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm. Who's
good
the woman?
Template for
who was the woman?
For romance. It was
his wife.
My wife.
Is she
because
a
I
working
thought,
actor?
I was going to do 7 years with it. There's no actress that could, you know...
Right.
I'd be in the hole so much, even if we paid him
SAG.
Yeah,
but also,
Sandra, we're working on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a nice, humble business thing to say, but your wife's a great actress. And
she
another
is.
Thing is it easier to work, especially doing a romantic comedy, which it kind of is,
mm-hmm.
you know, right, with your wife because you guys already have that chemistry built in?
Yes and no.
Sure.
I mean, I
what
think
was the pros like, and cons of working with your wife?
Well, I think it plays a little better.
Yeah.
But I tormented her. I mean, my poor wife, she should
as a
not,
director or as an actor?
As a director.
How? What did you do as a director that would probably drive her nuts? Or
the,
we
the,
would think it would drive
thing
her
I did
nuts?
Was we got to, because we drove across the United States.
Sure.
And
you did
shots,
for real deal.
You know, and every yeah. day we were behind, and we finally found a forest to shoot this scene in where she throws her purse.
The purse, yeah.
And I said to the crew, I said, okay, you go to the Army Depot and get some socks for everybody because there's poison ivy all around here. And, honey, you just got to suck it up. And sure enough, by the time we got out to Utah, she had poison ivy so bad that we couldn't shoot one side of her face. And it was – she had, like –
Well done, Polanski.
And, yeah. It was pretty
– Well, plug her. What's her name?
Amber Jaeger.
Amber Jaeger?
Mm-hmm.
Amber Jaeger. Change that last name, but
change it, Sam.
I will.
But she's good. She works. She's like a working.
Yeah.
So you're well, both working.
Yeah, we're both.
She,
working.
If she's on a series,
Ryan's
too.
Like your father, Victor Garber,
if,
in the movie.
If
you're
she's
working,
on, the, if she's
you,
on,
are you working?
If she's on a
yeah.
series too, and you only have an eighth of an
Again.
Acre, I'm going back to Pasadena. I'm slapping both of you.
I know.
And I'm going to take you to a better house. And make you write a check for it.
And I know this is because you work with Charles Schwab, and I respect that, but I don't want you to just make this about a commercial for where I should put my money.
Yeah, where
no.
you should live.
I'm going to, no, I want to, this is going to be a commercial for, you know, what you need to do for your career.
Okay, let's hear it.
Move to Malibu. There's
move
a nice
to
$10 million home there.
Yeah.
No.
He's
too,
not
too
there
far
yet.
From the
we'll,
studio.
We'll live in a golf cart.
That's too far from
too
the
too far
studio.
From the studio. No, get a house up on Mulholland somewhere.
I have no interest. That's right. The last thing on earth I would.
Okay.
You also
well,
have like
family.
No interest to even live in this town sometimes. Let's
that's
be
why
honest.
I live in I when people ask me where I live, I do say Pasadena.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I do feel like, you know, actually Los Angeles gets a bad rap.
Downtown Los Angeles is great.
Yeah.
ugh.
No, and you know,
says Ron. What do you mean,
like,
ugh?
I wouldn't. I don't go downtown Los Angeles unless I'm getting paid or laid.
Do you get paid to get laid?
Yeah, right.
No.
Leading up to? Because I would love to.
Well, who wouldn't?
I would love to figure out what to do with your financials after that. So you like Pasadena. I love Pasadena.
Yeah, well, you know,
I like
Pasadena.
Hang
out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
Pasadena's
okay.
I feel like all of Los Angeles gets a bad rap. You know, the
which
territory
part
we're talking about is really just Bel Air and Beverly Hills. You know,
and
that
West Hollywood kind
that
of stuff.
Personality can be pretty annoying.
Hollywood's a tourist trap. West Hollywood
right.
sucks.
Right.
Santa
but,
Monica, ugh.
Well,
I've met
I mean,
some of the best people in my, you know, I've ever met in my life out here.
Really?
Me too.
Absolutely.
On the other
right.
hand,
you've also
this,
met some
this
of the
place
examples.
Does, you can't say that this city does not house
that's true.
Some of the most ruthless, insensitive, cruel, overambitious, egomaniacal maniacs that have ever drawn breath on the planet.
Right, but I don't.
But then there's good people too.
But I don't see those people. I don't deal with those.
Come
people.
On, you don't see those
sure,
people
they
ever.
They manipulate their
who do you
lives.
Think signing your check? Yeah.
Yeah, they're signing your check.
it's like, that ain't. It's not Mother Teresa on the bottom of that check. It's somebody at Imagine.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to change that topic. Eli Stone, your first big break, would you say?
Sure.
Even though it wasn't on, like, incredibly long
sure.
or anything.
That was
that's
a good
like,
show. Hey.
Oh, like a weekly show. Nice check.
You know, that led to Parenthood, and Parenthood's yeah. been, you know.
Eli
really...
Stone, what was the
it was like sort of... the dreaming lawyer.
Yeah.
Was that you? Were you
I
the
was
star?
The, no, again, I was the
yeah,
jerk.
You're the asshole.
I was the asshole.
Oh, okay. The
so you're not really an actor, Sam. You just play yourself.
Boy.
I just wake up,
yeah,
and,
I'll
and,
tell
wake
you, man.
Up and do me, and then I go
David Kelly could make hay out of you, man.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's true.
That's true.
You know,
I was in a David E. Kelly show. And
which
the,
show?
The Girls Club.
Girls Club. I never
again,
saw
this
it.
Is the, this
never
is
saw
the arc of my career. Being
that's
in,
with the girl that got
in the,
canned off Grey's Anatomy.
What was yeah. Girls Club?
Kyler
Girls
Lee.
It was a group of young lawyers.
Yeah.
And they were all girls.
No.
Kyler
no,
Lee.
No. And I played in the second episode of the... Yeah.
I did a series. I was an actor in a series with Kyler Lee.
Oh yeah, Kyler Lee,
who was in that one of yeah. those girls.
Yeah, I was Kathleen Robertson's boyfriend, and then it was thankfully the series was cut two episodes in because in the third episode you realized that I had a thing for my sister. And you know,
is that when they cut it?
That's when they cut
that's
it.
That's a really thanks. Good way to leave you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, they,
your character doesn't get to play that one out.
No. I still remember a line from it. It was like, you know, sometimes we kiss like we shouldn't. But and you know, that's one of those jobs that you're like, I'm going to try to just sell this as best I can. But it
listen,
hurts my
I did
heart.
I did a series once where in the third episode, the lead character gets blown by a guy.
Seventh Heaven?
No. I watched that. That was a very special episode.
It was very special.
It was... A show called Action with
Jay Moore
and
FX.
Ileana
yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the third episode, we have this guy that's playing sort of a Bruce Willis movie star who decides to come out, and Jay Moore character has to get him to not come out by saying he's gay too, and he's in the closet, and this guy should stay in the closet too, and sort of to prove, you know, as a like a handshake, the Bruce Willis guy... You see the commercial, you just see his head go down and Jay Moore's face going, well, you know, and they and we were off the air the next morning.
I'm shocked.
I think I may have to now rewatch Action.
Third episode.
Yeah. Oh, just the third episode.
No.
If you want to see the blowjob,
no, the show
the
was canceled
episode.
On the third episode.
Did
we did. No, we did 12.
Okay, I was going to say.
But the rest of them were only shown on FX because it was just too dirty. For this is in 1999
yeah,
and 2000.
Yeah, that would have been hit now.
Literally,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Murphy's doing that right now.
Everybody.
I don't mean literally. I mean like he's making those.
Everybody.
Shows.
No.
Everybody ripped off that show. I mean, Entourage. They stole shots and Everything.
Did I hear correctly that there's a Kickstarter fund to make sure the Entourage movie doesn't get made?
Is there really?
Boy, I'll put money into that.
Yeah, I'll counter Warner Brothers $30 million with whatever I have.
Yeah,
I'll get on that list.
Oh, that movie's got to be no good.
I don't think any TV show needs to be made into a movie.
I don't know.
And of course,
I don't know if it's worth going.
I actually don't think any TV show should run more than 5
yeah.
years.
You know, I.
What's the difference between taking Parenthood and from a movie to a TV show and a TV show to a movie?
Well, I just think there's very few that live up to, you know, how do you amp up a show that was so kitsch?
I was shocked they were making your show into a TV show, though. I mean, it's not the greatest movie ever. It's a good movie, but it's like,
Great family movie.
Yeah, it's a great family movie.
And you know what?
It was
this is the second incarnation. Yeah. I have a friend that was in the first one that played the Rick Moranis part.
And that was right after the movie came out,
Strangely enough,
right?
I'm playing the Rick Moranis role now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God,
you guys look so much alike.
Who's Harley Jane?
I would love to see
you. I do have a funny face.
If we're gonna make a remake, I could see you in my.
Are you really playing that part?
I'll do my Blue Heaven.
Are you seriously? Do you play that part?
I do.
Wow, because my friend was like is a comedian named Ken Ober. He died a few years ago.
Huh.
And
they did that as a 3-camera, didn't they? Wasn't it a sitcom?
No, it was an hour.
Oh, it was an hour.
Yeah, and it just so. They tried to make it too funny, though, and it really didn't work. And also, they had a couple people from the movie, threw it off. I think Harley Kozak maybe was in it, but it was like whoever couldn't get more movie work, you know, went to the series,
and then it seemed all weird.
You know, whereas what they did this time was just, hey, it's a family show.
Right.
It's Parenthood. It's a franchise, you know.
Well, if I'm in Parenthood 2, we never had this conversation.
Yeah, right. But you are in Inherent Vice, which is that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So how'd this come up?
Well, I got the role based on my audition tape for Spike Jonze's movie Her, which again,
really,
again, I was it was a movie I found out 3 weeks ago I was cut out of. So.
Oh, so you were in Her,
uh-huh.
But you're not in Her.
No, I'm not in Her. No.
Okay.
I know there's
so many
windows we can.
Yeah, I'm understanding
I commend
that.
You all for.
I wasn't even trying
above.
On that, but I was just.
I wasn't gonna.
It's a difficult movie to talk about.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just from logistics, linguistics.
So based off of that audition.
Yeah. Paul Thomas had seen that you apparently what I had done in some audition and cast me to. Be in his bizarre film.
Did you do your movie during Parenthood or before?
Before.
Oh, okay.
And then a little bit after.
Okay.
And I'll probably do it again in
I mean, is it out?
No, it's out, yeah.
Yeah? I like this. It's actually a good story.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really
good.
It's
a very simple story. I didn't try to, you know, break any.
I'll tell you what you did extremely well. I liked the movie a lot. What you did extremely well in my mind was it's a romantic comedy, but is not. There's no stupid meet cutes. There's no it's very real. It's very organic.
Thank you.
Organic. There's no.
Yeah.
I'm not. While I'm watching it, I'm not like, here's the new plot point.
Right.
He's got to hit this note and this note.
I kind of call it romantic comedy plus.
Yeah.
Well, it's also interesting to see. You know, I'm sure to actually see Bobby and Ethel Kennedy in a different light. Driving across country. Oh, sorry, this is a different guy.
Yes, this,
right there. I'm right with you. Keep going.
So, but it's a really good film. And this was like, this is your first film that you did.
That was the first feature.
Did you do shorts?
Yep, I've done a couple of shorts.
Why did you do shorts?
I feel like
shorts are such a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a waste of time, aren't they?
I tell you what, I did a short this year.
You did.
I say all that, and I did a short this year knowing that, you know, it won't make a single penny. And I told everybody it wouldn't make a single penny. But it was kind of cathartic because I had spent so long making a movie and taking so long that I just wanted to do something.
But
for
the price you can make a short nowadays, you can make a feature almost.
That's almost true.
Almost, right,
We made a short for, you know, a laughable sum.
Okay.
You know, but a semi-laughable sum, absolutely, you
could
make
But you could probably put one Parenthood paycheck into making a laughably sum feature.
Sure.
You could.
Yeah.
So are you going to do another feature?
Yeah, probably.
You got stuff.
Probably next summer.
You have a script?
I got a lot of pots on the oven,
what
guys.
All right. So what pots you got on the oven? You got Inherent Vice, which is next year, right?
Right.
That's probably going to be next
fall. Inherent Vice?
Inherent Vice. It's Paul Thomas Anderson's new
oh,
film.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun.
It's a bizarre film.
I think you'll be working.
Well, also, as soon as you hit the
100 episodes next year, right? Man, Ron is just financially putting together your future.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get an overall deal.
He is just
get to do whatever you want for like 2 years. You get two free years if you get all the way through a year.
And believe me, I am just going to be pathetic.
So you'll be producing your own stuff.
Oh,
and taking it over to Imagine.
I'm letting the wife take the son, and I'm just going off living in Venice. Maybe lifting some weights, getting too bad a tan, maybe some tattoos. I'm
kind
thinking
of
right now maybe a snake eating a little baby. But that's just on the top of my mind. And that's just
kind of a beach kahuna.
Yeah, sky's the limit, you know?
So this. Let's start with the film that you want to make next. Is that a script you already have?
I do have a script for it. It's about a man who, after his wife tells him she's pregnant, he begins waking up in a new location every morning.
That's kind of strange.
It is kind of
strange. What?
Do we know why he's waking up in a new location every morning?
Wait.
His wife tells him she's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And the next day he wakes up and he's somewhere else.
Somewhere else. And
does he remember where he should be?
He can't remember. He can't figure it out. Nobody knows what the hell's going
on.
And
every day somewhere else.
And every day somewhere else. And it's this comedy about this...
Crazy locations?
Just bizarre locations. He wakes up and, you know, underneath the, you know, the dinette of an Asian family's, you know, apartment, he wakes up and...
Does it ever explain how he gets to these places?
Well,
or is it all a dream?
See the movie.
Hopefully you'll see the movie.
So it's probably a dream.
Well, that would be kind of a bummer. I mean, we all saw Lost.
Yeah.
Right?
Although
that was more than a dream. Right?
I don't know. I didn't watch Lost.
I was so confused.
I didn't watch Lost.
I never watched it. I never understood any of it.
I was getting really high when Lost was on the air, and you can't understand.
I had no interest. No. I knew I wasn't going to understand it when the plane crashed. It was like, okay.
Yeah. Wait, you were confused at the plane crash?
Yeah, the first episode.
That's not the show for you, Ron.
I watched it, and I looked at how many people survived, and I was like, I don't want to follow all these people. It's too many people to follow. There's way too many people survive.
Dude, you're going to hate our show.
Yeah, you're
going to
hate Parenthood. There's literally 30 characters on this show.
I'm number 75 on the call sheet.
You really are.
Yeah.
Too many. It's all like Grey's Anatomy.
Because now they got Ray Romano even. They got like so many people on this show.
Yeah, you do. A bunch of people.
You do get to.
Yeah, Grey's.
Not Grey's, not 30.
No, because people have, you know, died off.
They get rid of them.
That's true. The conspiracy.
But you get to work with great actors, though.
Yeah,
you
get to work with great actors like Lauren Graham, Craig T. Nelson, Bobby
Lauren
Bedelia.
Lauren Graham, man.
Monica Potter you work with like
fantasy
every day.
Girl.
Yeah.
She's very tall.
What's she on the fantasy list? I mean, if we're talking and from the 90s or the 2000s?
From
the Dream.
Gilmore Girls.
The Dream list. Do you know what she is? And maybe we can approximate the Q score.
No, because I never heard anything about her. I mean, I'm sure she has a giant TV queue, but but no, I've never seen her name on these lists of weird people that people dream about.
Wrong. I mean, we were just so hoping.
Sean Penn is on that list for women.
Okay, I was going to say for men too. Sean Penn,
sure.
That's a bad one.
Sean Penn is a man that women dream about.
I can't believe Sean Penn, Woody Allen are high on that list.
Yeah, Woody Allen
Those
was
the
guy. Woody Allen was the highest.
Was the highest.
Yeah.
Right.
Woody Allen was
fascinating.
I mean, there was a whole thing when he was in the 70s. He was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
And they said it. You know that women fantasize.
Who's
about
on that list today, though?
Like
you think?
Right. Well, I think
George Clooney.
Yeah. So you can make a very interesting comparison, though, because you could show our society back in the 70s where women's dreams consisted of Woody Allen, and today women's dreams consist of.
But it was also.
I also submit that women find Seth Rogen irresistible. And
where? Why would you submit this?
Because
you really submit this?
Sure.
Do you?
Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Oh,
come on.
God, no.
Listen, guys. No.
I mean, I like Seth. I like Seth as a dude, but let's be honest.
Here's
I don't think
thing,
women are dreaming
about
him.
Woody Allen is the person that you want to argue with because you know he's totally harmless, and you can get your opinion across,
that's
and
true.
He'll listen.
That's true.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Do you really think women think Seth Rogen's sexy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I'd have to look at his Q score.
Yeah,
you'd
have to look at his Q score.
So
how was it working with Paul Thomas Anderson, though? I know you probably can't talk much about the film. Can you give even a small synopsis?
You know, it was pretty...
What are we expecting?
It was pretty wonderful. It's you can read the book. The book will just blow your brains out.
Is the book and the film similar?
I hate to be this professional, but why don't you tell your audience... what Paul Thomas Anderson has done.
Oh, my audience isn't going to know?
Boogie
Nights, Magnolia.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't know. It was for Ron's own good. Heart 8.
I do know. I'm being a professional co-host and trying to help you through this interview.
What's the film he did last year that I thought was only okay?
Master.
Yeah, Master. I do love him, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Master, I did the one with Daniel Day-Lewis.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. Thank you. There you go. For my audience.
There Will Be Blood.
I think that sums it up pretty much.
Here advice is about this hippie detective at the beginning of the 70s, played by Joaquin Phoenix, whose ex-girlfriend goes missing. So it's a film noir, but the sleuth happens to be this total wash-up. You know, and
there's kind of comedy in it, right?
Yeah.
It's like dark comedy.
Yeah, it's all over the map. It paints this picture of that, you know, that the bygone days of Los Angeles at that time and post.
Area. It's going to be an in-color picture?
Yeah.
So it's 70s. It's early 70s.
Early 70s.
We can expect another one of those Paul Thomas Anderson soundtracks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's only one human being on Earth that could adapt this book.
So what is there stuff in the film that's not in the book? Obviously, because it's Paul, I think he has to have his own touch to it.
Yeah, I think so. But I think Thomas Pynchon, the writer of the novel, worked hand-in-hand with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. He's kind of a recluse, and you know, and this was his first adaptation, I believe.
Huh.
And so,
well, that's how respected Paul is.
Yeah.
So when you worked with Paul, what's it like having him as a director to you being an actor? What makes him different than other people you've worked with?
Well, I think he's pretty laid back, but
collaborative kind of guy. Can you collaborate with him? You can.
Yeah, it's a mix of good collaboration. He's very intense, but he just knows film. You know, he's really comfortable with his crew. And
does he talk to you a lot, or do you just go act?
It's just kind of going at it, I think. You know, there could be some discussions about where to navigate the characters, but he decides before he's, puts people, in front of the camera what they're going to do. You know, he casts the right people, and he always gives actors plenty to do.
So there's never a meeting, though, where you guys are talking about your character and what he thinks or what he's curious you think you need to be doing with it?
Not so much. I mean,
you show up, do your job, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I was on Parenthood, so I wasn't used to sitting around more than 20 minutes.
Is that what happened there? You were
well, yeah.
You
sit
movies,
in the trailer
movies
all day
take
on
forever.
Movies take forever. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
He just... And
Ron, you hate movies.
I've produced them, I've written them, and I've been in them.
Yeah.
And it's always pretty damn boring,
Damn boring.
Because it's just like again and again. It's fast.
Yeah.
And they don't have time to it's whether it's a half hour show. You got tape night. You got you have 4 days to rehearse it, learn it, rewrite it.
Yeah.
And if it's an hour, you basically have a week.
It's absurd. We have three cameras rolling at all times on our show.
Yeah.
Really?
So if we get to a fourth take, the crew starts rolling their eyes.
Really?
We've just got this
dialed three
in.
Takes is all you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now the way they film television, though, is like Ron was talking about back in the 90s and before that, they would have like 3 days and then a rehearsal day and then you tape.
A half hour, right.
Hours.
Yeah.
These hours, though, you guys doing, this has always been the way with the hours where you have like three cameras and you just base it.
But
you
it's
know,
still
it's never,
a week.
It's, never,
it's still like a week.
Yeah.
And you got to have
so
the show done.
Long hours.
Is
and
it
most
filmed?
TV shows are very long hours.
Is
they're
it
still working
filmed
12,
in order?
14-hour days.
Or do you guys break it up based off of schedules?
Mostly the schedule.
Really?
We to save some money this season, we're doing two episodes at a time.
Oh, really?
But we're still, we're only about three or four episodes
ahead of where they air. Writer, producer-y people like doing hours better than half hours, and actors prefer to do half hours.
Yeah.
Because with half hours,
20-hour work
the writers, the writers are there until 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And the hours are horrible.
Yeah.
On an hour show, the actors are there till 3 in the morning, yeah. And the writers go home at 5, 6 o'clock.
Right.
They send the shit down to the set, and they're done. And it's like, you know.
I read that about Law & Order SVU. I heard Law & Order that some days you're shooting 16, 18 hours
as the actor. David Kelly never goes to his set. Never.
Yeah.
I remember one day my my call time on Eli Stone was 1 a.m. We had shot so far by the
end. Did David Kelly ever come to the set on that show?
Well, no, he wasn't on that show.
The Girls Club.
Yeah, because it was only the beginning of the show. So he was...
So he comes around at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, what it was.
Because he's known for not... I remember writing the script and handing it off. William Shatner won like his third Emmy or something for Boston Legal. And he goes, you know, and thank you, David Kelly, who I've never seen, but is a genius, you know.
Right.
And I do think he's probably after Rod Serling.
And William Shakespeare.
No.
The greatest writer.
I'd say Rod Serling, and there is one other, you know, maybe Carl Reiner, one of the five greatest television writers ever.
Do you like the crazy ones?
When you look at his whole body of work.
Yeah, sure.
Is that David E. Kelly?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, Picket Fences was just an amazingly great show.
Picket Fences was a really good show, yeah.
You know, I mean, and L.A. Law. He took over that show in two seasons. Yeah. He went from, you know, basically a staff writer to the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was doing that, he created,
Ally McBeal?
No, the Kid Doctor show.
Oh, yeah, Doogie Howser.
He created Doogie Howser. Yeah.
He's the one that did Doogie.
Nobody even knows. David Kelly is so rich
from so long. Why Michelle Pfeiffer's in love with him.
You know what? I bet David Kelly's the one that has all my acreage.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about this. David Kelly has everybody's acreage.
I think
he owns this place.
Yeah. Well, you know, no, Joe Montaigne owns this place. Happy birthday, Joe, by the way.
Joe Montaigne does own this place?
Yeah,
really?
That's awesome. Happy birthday to Joe.
David Kelly probably owns the street that it's on. Yeah.
That's true. Hollywood Way. That's why it's called Hollywood Way.
I remember many years ago, Merv Griffin owns huge blocks of Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
And Sunset Boulevard, but more on Hollywood Boulevard. And I went...
Well, this town was all Bob Hope. Bob Hope owned everything.
Yes, the Valley. And Fred McMurray.
Yeah, Fred McMurray.
Owned the whole Valley.
Yeah.
But when I first got out here, I went with Jerry Seinfeld. He was doing the Merv Griffin show. So it was 30 years ago or something. And afterwards, we're in the parking lot, and we're talking about how rich he must be, because Jerry's going like, you know, he owns this theater, but he also owns six blocks around the theater and everything on it, and the Beverly Hills Hotel. And Merv Griffin comes out. There's a limousine waiting for him, and he walks out, and Jerry says, "Thank you, Merv." And he goes, "Hey, Jerry, great job." And Seinfeld goes, "Merv, I gotta ask, you own this place, you own like some blocks around here," and Merv is like, he's halfway in the limousine, he's going, uh-huh, and he goes, "Just, you know, how rich are you?" And Merv Griffin goes, "Ooh, Jerry, I got a lot of money." He jumps in the limousine and takes off.
Sam, I can't imagine you or I owning a block in our life.
No.
No offense.
Sam's going to own like lots of stuff.
He could, actually.
I mean.
It could. Syndication on Parenthood, which is... What day is it on again this year? They change it like
Thursday
every year.
10.
Does that get annoying for you that it changes literally every year?
Well...
Because you have to retell everyone, like your family, your friend. Your family starts to worry about you. Dad and mom start to wonder if you're even doing well out here. They're like, your show moved again?
I know.
What night is it on now? So Thursdays.
Thursdays.
So you're against scandal.
Yes.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's a good thing?
You know, because I don't...
Good counter-programming?
No, it's just I don't know. I got a thing about scandal.
Ah.
Okay.
But
we're going to go a couple minutes over for our live listeners. You can listen on the website afterwards.
But I think you have a hotter cast.
You have a hotter cast.
There's more women on his show.
I don't know, Kerry Washington.
That I'd like to sleep with.
In your dreams?
Yeah.
In my dreams, for sure.
In real life,
for sure.
However it happens.
You have more people on your show to sleep with. Monica Potter, how hot is she?
About Lauren Graham, making love to Lauren Graham while Woody Allen watches tonight.
No, mine would be Monica Potter.
Write it down.
Well, he's Monica's husband on the show. He's
I think
with her
mine
every
would
day.
Be like Monica Potter making love, not Woody Allen.
They have hot sex scenes on Paranoid all the time. So our listeners
really?
Know. All the time.
You have hot sex with Monica Potter?
This is what people don't know.
That would be...
Or Erica Christensen. I'm sorry. I played Erica's husband on the show. But you should have hot sex scenes with Monica Potter on the show.
Well,
everybody.
That would be good, too.
You may jump the shark at some point.
Really?
Yeah, why not? You already hit syndication, 20 episodes. You might
as
well be like, let's really fuck this shit up.
See, she's a great example of somebody that took her series like a man.
Who,
you know,
Monica Potter. Oh, Monica Potter.
She did a couple movies. It was like, hey, is she the new Julia
That's
Roberts
really,
in America?
You know what?
Like,
you're really right. You're right.
And
we were talking about Barry Pepper about that before. Barry Pepper needs a series.
Take your
Barry
series
Pepper,
like
yeah.
a man.
Yeah, he needs a you series. Know? Take your series like a man.
I'm sure he's tried.
That's probably my new favorite line ever.
Take
yeah.
your series like a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a book, right?
Charlie Sheen. The whole Brat Pack. You know, Molly Ringwald's on a series.
Yeah.
Allie Sheedy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what she's doing. But,
see, Peter Krause is smart. He was just always a serious guy.
Emilio Estevez.
He's like a Mr.
That,
TV.
That won't yeah. take his series, and it drives me crazy. Even Judd Nelson took a series.
Who won't?
Judd Nelson?
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, Emilio just doesn't want to work.
Stop making those boring movies where with your dad. You know?
I thought the last one with his dad was good.
Yeah, but I'm...
The
know,
Way,
like,
was it?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. You know, Emilio Estevez, come on. You know, he should have been doing anger management.
Anger management with Emilio?
Yeah.
I'd probably watch it.
I think it would
once.
Be better.
Or
you know? Oh, if Emilio Estevez gets
Why don't
right
you get
part,
Emilio on Paranoid?
You and Emilio...
I'll see what I can do.
Get over
You
with.
And Emilio Estevez.
So what can we expect?
A buddy cop show would be
a
really
buddy
great.
Cop show.
Little
right.
guy, big guy.
With Emilio?
Little yeah. guy, big guy.
You and Emilio
Am
Estevez.
Am I big enough and is Emilio small enough?
Yes. Okay. Emilio's definitely small enough.
He's 4'2".
You know,
he's tiny. His dad is tiny.
The last question I want to ask
And
you,
make
Sam,
him the crazy tough
before
one.
Before we wrap up.
And you the smart one.
I'm the sensitive one.
Yeah.
Is,
you're like the hippie guy.
Hippie
and he's the dirty hairy guy.
Okay,
that could
great.
Be good.
I could
that could be good. I'd watch it.
Seconds.
I'd watch it.
Done.
I could take you guys right into
Ron's
Imagine.
Ron's going to manage you now.
I could take you guys
Ron.
Right into Imagine
I'm
and go, when
you,
he's
I'm
done with
all,
your
I'm
show.
I'm putting all my eggs in Ron's basket. I got financial planning with this guy at Charles Schwab.
I could.
He'll get you out of Pasadena, pal.
He'll get me out of Pasadena.
No, I'll keep you in Pasadena.
You'll own Pasadena. You will be the Bob Hope.
Sammy
the Merv
Pasadena.
Griffin,
everything,
yes, Sammy
that, everything that Kevin Costner doesn't own in Pasadena, which is probably just your house, your street, then you can own.
What's
going
to happen when we have to start taking over other towns?
But,
like,
but
Glendale.
I mean, L.A. is just going to be, I mean,
I mean, it's just moving
probably
further
probably
and
bad.
Further away.
Yeah.
So anyways, last question I got for you, That's Sam, true. Is... And by the way, I want to encourage people as well. Take Me Home. Can you? What can you see that on? iTunes,
no
Amazon,
I think
Netflix.
Amazon.
Netflix.
I don't know if it's on Netflix. We were on Netflix for a long time. I don't know if we're still on.
Voodoo.
Netflix.
Well, Voodoo. Yeah,
they
Voodoo.
Have everything.
Sure, let's do it.
They have everything.
Yeah, Roku. Yeah, you're on it all. Trust.
Vishnu?
Trust Matthew
That's
Aaron
a,
on this. Take Me Home's on
Voodoo's,
everything.
Yeah.
Just go watch it. But right. what can we expect the rest of the year on Parenthood?
Oh, just more people. arguing.
Okay, it's more people arguing.
I wish we had more cliffhangers.
Do you got guest stars coming on that I should be looking forward to?
Somebody launches a missile.
Okay. that sounds very realistic for the show.
We've got some, I don't know.
At the White House. And kills everybody in Scandal.
Yeah. You know, I wish we had something salacious to talk about. But it's basically as far as my storyline, it's this relationship slowly unraveling and gritting. And
Erica's a really nice girl. I met her before.
Oh, she's
really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I adore her.
And when are you turning in your papers?
Monica Potter single?
No, she's married. She's got three kids. If you're ready to be a father again.
Not
he's
again.
Very sad about Not Elizabeth again. Shue and now Monica Potter and...
Yeah.
It's just a bad day for Ron.
Yeah, really
he had to come by here.
Our Heinekens, Ron, until they close, until they kick us out.
Well, Sam, I really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Take Me Home is by Parenthood, of course, Thursdays, 10 o'clock. But Take Me Home,
Channel
I
4.
Think, is
NBC. Correct?
Channel 4.
Well, yeah, depending
channel
on where
4,
you live.
Where
it's NBC.
Don't
think
just turn on.
Columbus,
I think
Ohio.
It's Telemundo. It's Telemundo
NBC.
In Chicago, yeah. Channel 4. So don't.
Okay.
Yeah. NBC is better.
Somehow
we'll just stick with
NBC's
NBC.
Always been Channel 4, hasn't it?
five in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. I know. It's hard to imagine places outside
that
of
Los Angeles.
That
sounds weird.
Yeah, I know. No one does that in Los Angeles.
No, when I was a kid, Channel 4 in D.C. was Channel 4 was NBC.
Yeah. No, not
Channel Chicago. 2. Channel 2 was always CBS.
I have a lot of Chicago listeners, though, so now you just very much confuse them because they're not so smart.
NBC, NBC,
Channel
NBC.
4 looking for Parenthood.
Chicago. I'm
Christina's going to be, like, really, really big on Thursday for no reason. No reason.
Okay,
no
Chicago.
Reason. And he's going to get a lot of phone calls from Spanish agents and executives. Doing
Chicago, here's all you have to do. When you're watching Scandal, record Parenthood.
That's great. Or the other way around. That's a part of NBC's marketing.
Yeah. Or the other way around. Yeah. But you'll probably do it that way.
If you watch only one show on Thursday, watch two shows.
You don't have any meetings with Bob Greenblatt coming up soon, do you?
No.
No, I didn't think so. You're good. If you did, you don't. That's good, though. That's good. Parenthood, 10 o'clock on NBC's, and that's Eastern time, 10, and also Pacific.
Yeah.
So if
but
you're in Chicago,
Central,
you watch
God
it at
knows.
9. It's like regular people hours.
Yeah, it's like regular people.
Who watches stuff at 10 p.m.?
I know.
All right. Thank you so much, Sam. And yes,
thanks,
I wanted to say Take Me Home, one of the most criminally underrated films I've seen in a long time. I loved it.
It's
I really
great,
did.
Guys. This has been awesome.
Thanks,
I'm gonna
brother.
Go get some pizza
thank
now.
You. Sam Jagger, thank you very much. Am I even saying it right? Jagger, right?
Jagger.
Yeah, kind of like Mick Jagger, except not Jagger.
You got it.
Yeah.
Jagger.
Yeah, Jagger, yeah.
Jagger?
Yeah. There's Jaeger, Jagger, and Jagger.
Jagger.
So it's in the middle, yeah.
Jagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, like Jagermeister. Jagermeister.
Yeah, Jagermeister. That's what he was called
probably
in college.
People called you that. The Jagermeister.
Yeah, the Jagermeister.
If you were on Dennis Miller, he'd go, hey, it's the Jag.
I started drinking way too late. That would have been an awesome name.
Dennis Miller would call you the Jagermeister.
Yeah.
That's so true. That is Dennis
there
Miller.
There he is, the Jagermeister. How are you, pal?
Sammy Casadena
Jagermeister.
Sammy, I like Sammy Casadena
Jag.
Better.
The
it's
Jag
a little more Italian for me.
The Jag is coming on.
All right, well, you can stop with that. I can handle that. We're good. Ron Zimmerman, thank you so much. You got anything to promote? Nothing going on? You still just writing? You and Cher still got projects going on?
Yes.
You got that pilot, right, that you're working on?
Yeah, we're moving it.
Oh, okay.
We're finding a new home for it.
Oh, very good.
So, I don't know. I think it may end up as a... Showtime.
Yeah, Jack
HBO.
Noseworthy was telling me his niece was the one doing the notes for you guys on that.
Really?
Over at Cher's house, yeah.
Oh.
That's his niece.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I meant to bring it up when he was here, but I forgot.
Very. It's a very interesting show. We just have to find, it's really dirty and really violent.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Maybe, someone told me it was the dirtiest, most violent pilot they ever read. And that's really saying
now
something in this day
it.
And
now
age.
Now I want to read it.
In this day and age, to say that, you know, I'll also say, the violence was me, the sex was her.
That makes sense.
And, you know, boy, that woman can really write sex. She could have a whole career as like writing those sex novels and stuff under a different name and you know, sell a million of them. But
she's a real artist, though. She's like a true fucking artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Going on tour in March.
Is she?
Her first tour in a million years and already sold out.
I'm going. Oh, well, I'm
on the East
that
Coast. Man, she has Springsteened that tour.
That's great.
Where I have cousins that are writing me going, we try to get tickets in New York and Jersey, and she's already sold out for April.
God
so
bless.
It's amazing that the staying power of that woman.
No, it's not amazing. I mean, she's a legend. She's a true artist.
I guess.
She's
know,
a real artist.
I mean, you know, boy.
And real artists last forever. They do.
She's working it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, that's great. That's so great. Anything else?
Nothing I could really.
Oh, real say. Quick. This won't be real quick. I was going to ask you what you thought of Superman, Man of Steel.
You know,
I
didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? All right, when you see it, let me know what you think.
I
or I'll call you from
in
Chicago.
Indiana.
I heard.
I'm trying to be a farmer.
Is that really
so
why
that's
you
why I have
there?
Nothing to promote. Yeah, I moved. I was going to be a farmer.
Yeah, I was getting phone calls that you're in Indiana. We'll talk about that later. All right. Thank you to everybody. I'll be back tomorrow with Stephen Dorff and Mike Newell. Director Mike Newell will be joining me tomorrow. So Stephen Dorff, Mike Newell, who directed Four Weddings and a Funeral, Donnie Brasco, and the upcoming Great Expectations, and Stephen Dorff, Motel Life, which is phenomenal. I want to thank Sam Jaeger. You can watch Parenthood Thursdays, 10 p.m., 9 Central. I want to thank Jack Noseworthy on Friday. You can rewatch or watch for the first time Killing Kennedy. Congratulations on that huge hit. And I want to thank Ron Zimmerman for finally coming in. The last week I'm here, and it's good to see you, and you're amazing. And
you're not here forever?
I'm going to go film that movie in Chicago. I'm going to be gone for like 8 months.
What's my part?
You want a part?
Of course.
Yeah, I'll figure something out for you. I can figure something out for you. But thank you guys very much, and I'll be back tomorrow. And have a good day.
Thank you.